Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show podcast. Welcome in at 4:02. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented on Mondays by the good folks at Randy's Flooring. You can find them in Cedar Rapids and in Coralville on the Coralville Strip. Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. Stop on in and check them out. You can even visit their website, randysflooring.com. We appreciate their support as always. Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn with you for the next 3 hours on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio and great local programs like this one and the Gym Class. Also heard on 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM The North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, and online at KGYMradio.com. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com is set to join the program coming up in the 5 o'clock hour today. Turns out it was a major, major recruiting weekend for the Iowa football program. Lots of kids in town, and lots of kids went home and decided that their future was best going to be spent as members of the Iowa football program. We'll get Rob's thoughts on that and more. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll chat baseball with Joe Rivera of the Sporting News. A lot of topics to hit on there. Unfortunately, talked with Joe earlier today before the news of Jordan Hicks's injury became public. The Cardinals are now going to be without their closer. Sounds like John Gant will fill in his place. But we did touch on a number of other things, including Craig Kimbrell's imminent return with Joe, as well as the complete utter dumpster fire that is the New York Mets. We'll probably touch on that with Rob as well coming up at the 5 o'clock hour. We will discuss dysfunctional franchises in the 5 o'clock hour as well. We got a Big Ten team playing in the College World Series tonight for the first time since 1966. More on that to come in just a little bit. Alex, what's up?
Not a whole lot. It was a good weekend.
For one of us.
We were thinking about you on Friday and hope that everything went as well as possible, and we're glad that you're back now.
Funny story about that. It's not really funny. You want me to tell the story?
I actually should not have said that, because I've heard this story already, and I do know that things didn't go as well as possible, but Go ahead.
So, as many of you know, Friday was off the air here. Was back home in DeWitt at my father's funeral service. And that's obviously a difficult thing to do, although I got a number of very nice texts and emails and phone calls from everybody. And I actually came back to the office today, and there was a pile of the closest thing to fan mail I guess I will ever get, but a couple pieces of mail that listeners and friends sent here to the station. And if you were one of those people that did that, I do appreciate that. As a matter of fact, I just dropped a couple notes in the mail to those of you who sent me things. Jack Dom, a friend of the program who's on with us on Fridays, was very instrumental in telling me, hey, you'll get through this. You will find the ability, the courage to get up there and deliver the eulogy, and I did, and I made it through without breaking down, and it was a beautiful service, and we dodged the storm. The weather was fine. We were able to head up to the cemetery and say one final round of goodbyes, and then everybody went to the luncheon, and this was on Friday, and so, Saturday took some family time. Sunday, come back home. I'm not in the door for 60 minutes, and my phone rings, and it's my mother. And she says, you're not going to believe this.
Oh, no.
And I said, what now? And it turns out that my aunt, who traveled from Wisconsin to my father's funeral, whom I had not seen in several years, was able to chat with her and catch up with her, passed away on Sunday. She was staying with my dad's sister in Illinois, and she was going to finish off the drive Sunday morning back to Wisconsin. And so now our family is dealing with yet another loss. So my advice to everybody listening to this program, and this is an old saying, but these things come in threes. And so I don't know necessarily how far out the sphere is going to reach as far as coming in threes. Now, Both of the people who have passed away have shared a last name with me, so perhaps this is a rather intimate, close-knit circle of three. But just to be on the safe side, don't break any mirrors and keep your fingers crossed for yourselves, because at this point I'm thinking anybody associated with me is up a creek without a paddle, as they would say. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use that to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Same phone number if you want to pick it up and give us a call. Again, 366-1600. So, yeah, that was my weekend. People keep dying on me. It's not good. It's not good at all. But I did my best and got through Friday and get through this week as well, and hopefully this is going to be it for a while. Colonels are out of town. They are back home tomorrow night, open up a big 7-game homestand, taking on the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. Good to have them back in town. We mentioned Michigan playing in the College World Series tonight. But I want to start with something we're going to chat with Rob Howe coming up in the 5 o'clock hour about. This is a big weekend, wound up to be a big weekend for the Iowa football program. Iowa State reeled in some recruits as well. But this is something that Kirk Ferentz wasn't necessarily a huge fan of at first when the early signing period was put into place. But over time, they've evolved on bringing in guys on official visits in the summer, the end of June. And it seems to have paid off quite well for them this past weekend.
Really did. And I know that there were a lot of people talking about how this past weekend was going to be a huge weekend for the Iowa football program going into it. It seems like it pretty much exceeded expectations, if that's possible. The number of commits, I sort of lost track. Is it at 6 at this point? Or was it, did it, it
well,
was
you've
it
got
four
a couple,
last I saw.
You got a couple 2021 kids mixed in there, I think. Kyle's the recruiting expert. He can come in here and help sort all of this stuff out. I know they're up to 19 commitments in the class of 2020, but they did get a couple kids pulling the trigger on 2021 commitments as well. Where are the numbers at right now for Iowa coming out of this weekend? As far as it was, I had 5 on my SportsCenter update today because they got 4 over the weekend and they got 1 Alabama defensive back today. Those are all 2020 kids, correct?
Yeah, five from 2020. Going back, I guess the one on Friday, Connor Colby, was 2021. But yeah, 5 guys Saturday, Sunday, and into today. And I believe Iowa now stands 18th nationally, according to 24/7, and 4th in the Big Ten?
I didn't look at the Big Ten rankings. I did see 18th nationally, and Iowa State, I think, is up to 42nd. So both have top 50 recruiting classes at the moment for 2020.
That Iowa City block party must have been a fun time.
They all saw that gif of Brendan Stiles,
oh my gosh,
dancing, and they said, how can we not spend the next 4 or 5 years of our life as Hawkeyes? 319-366-1600. This block party thing is new. They never did anything fun like that when I was living down there.
I think it's been, the last 4 years?
It's a good opportunity, and there's not a whole lot going on in the summer in Iowa City. So it's a good opportunity to bring kids in and show them just a little bit of the flavor of Iowa City, a little bit of the spice of life, so to speak. 366-1600, if you want to use the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line to reach out to us. So big things to come. Deuce Hogan seems to be an intriguing character, the incoming quarterback who's a member of the He's a 2020 guy, right, Kyle?
Yep.
We'll sort all of this stuff out with Rob Howe, but
he's a Twitter sensation, which will last just a couple more months.
Apparently a good speaker, too.
He's selling he's pimping the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and they had a very nice article on him that he apparently read when he was at the airport, and so now he's sort of an unofficial spokesman for Mark Morehouse and the gang at the Gazette, but that's the power of getting a kid to buy in early on, and then he's basically been a member of the coaching staff almost since his commitment, the way that he's been given the hard sell to other prospects on Twitter.
It's strange to think that he's one of the original commits to this class, because I remember when he did commit, that would have been literally a year ago. This upcoming Saturday. So on Saturday of this week, it was a year ago. He is one of the elder statesmen of this recruiting class, and seems to be the guy that is bringing everyone together and sort of the ringleader of this recruiting class, which on Twitter, within recruiting Twitter, I know you're not a huge fan of it. I'm not either, but these guys take this social media thing very seriously.
Yeah. How do you folks feel about following along with the recruiting process? 319-366-1600. You have the folks out there who are in the school of thought that it's a little bit creepy. There's so much that changes between now and when kids actually get on campus, and part of that is actually getting them on campus. Sometimes there's grade issues. Sometimes there's changes of heart, although, again, you put pen to paper in the early signing period. That has helped at least cut down on that aspect of things as far as commitments and changes go with where kids are going to sign. I've always just been more results-oriented. I've always wanted to see a guy in person wearing a uniform out there playing. And I think it's a little bit dangerous. People tend to oftentimes get wrapped up in the number of stars that a player gets from a recruiting service like Rivals or 24/7 Sports.
See.
And it sets the bar for failure before a kid is even... And again, we're talking about kids here, 17, 18-year-old young men who are coming in, and people put these burdensome expectations on them, and sometimes it doesn't always work out for the best.
I'm glad you bring this up, because I hear this all the time when talking about, let's just say, a program like Nebraska, right? Where people are like, well, Nebraska had a top 25 recruiting class. They're not void for talent on that roster, and they should have had a quicker turnaround because Mike Riley was bringing in recruits. Or Texas, for that matter. Texas is another great example of bringing in 4- and 5-star recruits year after year. The problem that I have with that is a lot of times those kids aren't any good. Those kids turn out to not be very good at football. And Iowa is sort of the antithesis to that, where they can find 2- and 3-star prospects who can actually play and who also have a chip on their shoulder to prove themselves. And that's why I really do think that there are times where people get way overvalue the star rankings and undervalue how good is this kid actually. Now, there are plenty of 5-star recruits where you can look at and say that guy's going to be a star. You knew that about AJ Epinesa. You've known that about plenty of players that have come to the college ranks. But yes, I don't care who you're talking about, what program you're talking about. It is very, very dangerous to look and say they've had the number one recruiting class 4 times in a row. That means they're going to be the number one team for the next 4 years.
Kool-Aid on the text line: the Eno Benjamin Twitter recruitment hooked me on following along with recruits, and we know how that turned out. I heard Kyle name drop Eno Benjamin on the gym class, filling in for Scott Unash, who's on vacation until Thursday.
He's pretty good.
He was very vocal. He was a guy that was pressuring other players to commit to the University of Iowa, and then when it came time, he decided he was going to go play elsewhere, and has been a star at Arizona State, even though, because he's at Arizona State, I don't think a ton of people nationally probably understand just how good he has been. And
no,
you always get that guy out there that no matter how old you get together and you start talking about high school girlfriends or something, and he's still hung up on the one that got away from 20, 25 years ago. I think there's probably a number of folks out there that are still holding out hope, pining for Eno Benjamin, that maybe some night late at night they're going to get a Facebook friend request, or somebody's going to get a direct message on Twitter. Oh, she still thinks about me, doesn't she? 417-319-366-1600. You can use the text line just as Kool-Aid did to reach out to us. Cyclone Tim informing me that Iowa State's recruiting class is ranked 32nd. That may be with rivals. I'm looking at 34 right now on 24/7 Sports. But again, top 40 recruiting classes. What did I say earlier? 42nd? Maybe I was thinking about Jackie Robinson for some reason. I can't really tell you why. 366-1600. Again, the number to reach out to us here on the program. Scott mentioned this on, or I should say Mark mentioned this on the gym class. They have tickets to the John Deere Classic they'll be giving away all week. The John Deere Classic coming up later this summer in Silvis, Illinois, TPC at Deer Run. So be listening for your chance to take home those tickets. Coming up on Wednesday, we're going to be out and about in downtown Cedar Rapids, another Lunchbox Heroes stop. It'll be me, Alex, and Kyle. You can check out details about what that program means at kgymradio.com. And while you're there, vote in our poll question today. We want to know where you stand on giving opposing players standing ovations and curtain calls, fair or foul, alluding to the return of Albert Pujols to St. Louis over the weekend, one of the many subjects that we will touch on with Joe Rivera of the Sporting News, who you will hear with us coming up in just a few minutes. I was at opening day at Busch Stadium in 2012 when St. Louis played Chicago, and I can tell you there were a number of people there that had unflattering alterations made to their Albert Pujols number 5 jerseys. A lot of them involved turning the 5 into dollar signs with a couple pieces of duct tape. But I guess time heals all wounds.
Yeah, I mean, when you get a divorce or break up with somebody, and especially after 11 years of the joys that you had together, that first year, it's difficult.
And by the way, if we're going to keep going with if I'm going to keep going with the pining for the high school girlfriend, the former prom date, however you want to make it, Cardinals fans, I think, are able to have this reaction when Albert Pujols returns to St. Louis because they dodged a bullet.
That's true.
This is the version of going to the class reunion and you see the girl that maybe you dated for a long time and maybe even dated in college. And I don't know why I'm going girl here, because we could easily flip this around and for our female listeners say it's the equivalent of the guy that you dated. But I tend to default to stereotypes, good or bad. But this is the equivalent of seeing what a train wreck someone has become and realizing, oh man, I got lucky there. I dodged a bullet. He got the huge contract. He got paid for. This is a Pujols' contract with the Angels is a classic old school baseball contract where guys get mega dollars for things that they did in the past. And the game has evolved. The game has moved past that right now. And we're seeing that in recent free agent signings or approaches to signing free agents. Clubs no longer want to pay somebody for their best years that they had in somebody else's uniform. The Angels, at that point in time, were like, yeah, we'll give you 10 years. We'll pay you till you're, what, 40, 41?
Yes, 41, I believe.
You look at that contract in 2019 terms, and nobody is going to get a deal like that.
I think that was one of the deals that sort of shut off people, teams, from making those deals in the future. But I think this weekend was sort of the what-if factor from both sides. The what-if he stayed in St. Louis. And it sort of clicked for everyone that, yeah, the Cardinals had some success right after he left. Things weren't quite the same, though. You could feel it then, and you can certainly feel it now. And seeing him step into the batter's box at Busch Stadium again, I didn't know what to expect. I honestly didn't think that I was going to really feel any type of way about this weekend. But it turned out that all the memories are brought back. All the nostalgia was there, and then some. I didn't expect that, but it was there. And it was one of the weirdest viewing experience of my sports life, because all the great memories were back, but it was bittersweet knowing that it was only for 3 days, and the Cardinals have to go back to the reality of where they're at right now, and Albert Pujols has to do exactly the same.
And where they're at right now, unfortunately, is having John Gant close out games for them because, and we knew this was sort of a matter of time, but the human body is not meant to hurl an orb 104 miles an hour at home plate, and Jordan Hicks officially diagnosed today with a torn UCL. That gives a timeline of sometime in 2021 as a return for the St. Louis closer, so he is not expected to be available at all during the 2020 season. We'll talk. You'll hear us talk with Joe Rivera about this, not this specific instance, because we chatted with Joe earlier today, but the trade deadline coming up next month, this is going to very much be a buyer's market. There are a number of teams that are going to be out there looking for relief pitching. There's a lot of it out there, and the Cardinals are now one of these teams. How serious are they about hanging around and trying to make a go of it here in a very competitive National League Central? A National League Central that, if I recall correctly, the Cubs still lead over Milwaukee by half a game. St. Louis is not too far out at the moment.
2 games, yes.
And it's June 24th. There's still so much baseball left to be played, and now another team comes along who's going to be looking for some pretty serious bullpen help. So we'll talk a lot of things not related to Jordan Hicks's injury with Joe Rivera when he joins us coming up on the other side of this break. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com also on the program with us today at about 5:15, 5:20. We mentioned Michigan playing in the College World Series. First Big Ten team in the finals of the College World Series since Ohio State in 1966. What could that mean for the conference and that sport moving forward? We'll tackle that subject and more in the 5 o'clock hour. As we mentioned, Kyle is with us. Time for a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can check them out at their temporary location, 2802 Independence Road in Iowa City, or at the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
It was labeled as one of the biggest recruiting weekends in recent memory for the Hawkeyes, and 6 commitments later, it's safe to say it's right up there. It started on Friday with Cedar Rapids Kennedy 4-star offensive lineman Connor Colby. The junior to be in the class of 2021 stands 6'5" and 270 pounds and was highly coveted, also holding offers from Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Nebraska. The rest of the guys were all in the class of 2020. A.J. Lawson's a 3-star defensive back from Illinois. Lucas Van Ness is a 3-star DN from Illinois. Reggie Bracey, a 3-star safety from Alabama. Brendan Des Fernandez is a 3-star from Michigan, and Jay Higgins a 2-star from Indiana. The Cyclones didn't spend the weekend snoozing. They received pledges from Hunter Deckers, a 3-star in-state quarterback, 3-star Ohio offensive lineman Sam Rangert, 3-star Missouri defensive end Johnny Wilson, and 3-star JUCO receiver Xavier Hutchinson. And on the basketball side of things, Cyclone fans may want to keep an eye on 5-star center Infali Dante. He told the Des Moines Register's Matthew Bain Iowa State's very much in consideration. Former Hawkeye Tyler Cook has signed a partially guaranteed deal with the Denver Nuggets. He'll have a chance to earn a spot on the roster, but will have to do so without playing in the summer league after suffering an ankle injury. The Colonels and Twins are both off today, but tomorrow night the Colonels are back hosting the Timber Rattlers, and we're going to have the Twins and Rays right here on KGYM.
All right. You may have heard about a little instance with the New York Mets at Wrigley Field yesterday as the Mets closed out their series with the Cubs on the wrong end of a loss. Some heated words exchanged in the clubhouse between Mets manager Mickey Callaway and a Mets beat writer, and Jason Vargas, one of the Mets pitchers, threatening to fight, said beat reporter. We'll talk about the mess that is the New York Mets with Joe Rivera of the Sporting News, among other things, when he joins us next.
Star Equipment now sells, rents, and repairs heavy-duty forestry equipment, now carrying durable mulching heads, disc mulchers, and other skid steer attachments by Fecon, Diamond, and Bradco. That means your next tough job just became a whole lot easier. Rent or buy your forestry equipment now at Star Equipment. And while you're there, ask about current government grants for mulching equipment. Star Equipment, Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Bring your furry four-legged friends to the Colonels this Wednesday for Bark in the Park. participants must register their dog online at kernels.com and purchase tickets for you and your dog. All proceeds from the dog tickets benefit Critter Crusaders. Visit kernels.com and get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Kernels.
Cedar Rapids Kernels, let the good times roll.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
Celebrate this season with a bang with the opportunity of a lifetime from Imon. For a limited time, lock in your internet price for life. That's right. Get Imon 80 megabit internet for just $64 a month and lock in this fantastic monthly rate for life. Freedom from annual price increases. No ugly surprises when your promotion expires. For the first time ever, you have the opportunity to lock it in for life. Switch to Imon's Price for Life internet service today. Go to imon.net/radio before July 4th to sign up and lock it in for life.
Good losers gamble to have fun. They know losing is part of the game. In fact, good losers plan on it, and they never lose more than they can afford. Good losers know when to stop. If you're a good loser, you sleep no problem. But if you can't sleep, if your losses hurt too much, we can help. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.org and find out once and for all, are you a good loser? Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day alive. Member FDIC.
No game today. The Twins enjoying an off day at home before the Tampa Bay Rays are in town for a three-game series beginning on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Welcome back in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Monday afternoon here in Eastern Iowa, presented as always on Mondays by the good folks at Randy's Flooring. Check them out at one of their two corridor locations in Cedar Rapids or on the Strip in Coralville. Randy'sFlooring.com online. Talking a little baseball today with Joe Rivera of the Sporting News. Our next guest joins us now, and I think we pretty much have to start with the New York Mets right now, Joe. A bizarre situation in that series finale at Wrigley Field yesterday between a beat reporter who covers the team, manager Mickey Callaway, and starting pitcher Jason Vargas. This does not take place with teams that are healthy right now.
Yeah, to say the least. I mean, you know, for any other team, it would be a big deal. I mean, I guess for the Mets, it's just Sunday, right? But, you know, this is a franchise right now. What's the saying? The fish rots from the head down, right? And I think that it starts with ownership, you know. Fans are very distrusting of ownership. I know that Jeff Wilpon really wants to win, but they kind of have a funny way of showing it. So everybody's a little tense. I mean, you can understand Callaway's on edge given Brody Van Wagenen's hire. He wasn't Van Wagenen's guy. Things haven't gone right for them this year at all. You look at all of Van Wagenen's signings and 90% of them, 95% of them haven't really worked out. So yeah, it's a very, very bizarre situation. It's an ugly situation from the side of the Mets. Mickey Callaway, Jason Vargas challenging the reporter to a fight. It's certainly not pretty. It's not what you want to see, but with the way that things have gone in Flushing this year, you can understand why the frustrations are boiling over.
Joe, I asked this question earlier. When you look at dysfunctional franchises, you see franchises that no matter who's in charge, whether it's the manager, the coach, the personnel, things sort of go the same way. Things eventually sort of go down the toilet. When you're talking about dysfunctional franchises, are the New York Mets sort of approaching Mount Rushmore territory?
You know, I think they are. You know, living in this area my whole life, guys, the New York area, it's ugly. It really is. There's a bit of hypocrisy from fans, I want to say, because there are fans that say, well, we do want the Wilpons involved. We want to see that they want to win. But then at the same time, they say, well, hands off our baseball team and let the baseball guys do what they do. So you can't have one without the other, I think. So, it's not pretty. Again, I think that Van Wagenen was hired partially because he's a rah-rah guy. He's very charismatic. He plays to the cameras a lot. He gives you a good quote. We've seen that three or four times already throughout his tenure, and he was just hired at the end of last year. So there's certainly a bit of showmanship. He's a showman. He knows how to play to cameras. He knows how to play to reporters to try and take the heat off the franchise a little bit, which is not really something that you had with Sandy Alderson or even Omar Minaya before him. So, yeah, it's a dysfunctional franchise any way you want to look at it. And, again, I think it starts with ownership, not really knowing how to put together a winning product on the field. Not that it's easy to do, but I really don't think that they know what they want from management, from general management on down. So it's an ugly situation, and it's not going to get any better, it doesn't look like.
Give Joe a follow on Twitter at Joe Rivera SN. This situation with Mickey Callaway, I was kind of excited for the Mets when they hired him. I remember him coming through the Midwest League as a pitching coach in the Indians organization. I've talked with him before, thought he was kind of a rising star. Your thoughts on him as a manager?
You know, he certainly hasn't done himself any favors, right? I mean, the batting out of order last season, that's about as low as it gets as far as mistakes a manager can make, right? But I think, again, when you look at the way that the Mets are constituted this year, Wilson Ramos hasn't been great. Edwin Diaz hasn't been the closer that everybody expected him to be. Robinson Cano is hitting .227, and he's either hurt or bad. You run down the list of all the guys that Brody Van Wagenen has brought in. Jed Lowry hasn't seen the field. Justin Wilson hasn't seen the field. He's been hurt. When you run down all of these guys, all of the moves that they made this offseason that were expected to help this team now in the immediate just haven't worked out. And I think for that reason, it's kind of hard to look at Mickey and say, well, he's done a really bad job. I mean, it's almost unprecedented to see seven or eight guys brought in this offseason, either via free agency or trade. And these are all guys that were expected to have an impact on the team. The only guy that's been actually very good for them, which nobody had any expectations for, was J.D. Davis. And he's been very good for them, playing a little left field, playing a little third base. So I think Mickey, again, he hasn't really done himself a lot of favors. He's had some questionable bullpen management. We saw that they had a very good rotation last year. It looks like he figured out Zach Wheeler last year, and then this year he took a step back. So he's had some negatives for sure, but I think the whole picture, it's more than just him, which I think there are people that are actively avoiding that conversation right now with how average of a manager Mickey's been.
Joe, let's get to the other story from the weekend. Albert Pujols returned to St. Louis. I think we all knew that it was going to be emotional from both sides, both teams, the fans. Did you realize it was going to be to that degree?
I really didn't, guys. I have to admit, everybody knows what Albert meant to that franchise, obviously winning two World Series with the Cardinals and just being one of the best hitters on the face of the planet, probably that we've ever seen with them. He obviously goes to Los Angeles. He signs that mega contract, but it never really felt like there were any hard feelings between the two. But then at the same time, that happened a very, very long time ago now. So maybe you get the feeling that, you know, maybe it kind of wore off a little bit on Cardinals fans. You know, he was there a long time ago and maybe some fans forgot. But you saw that that wasn't the case. And that's a great story in and of itself. The fans remember what he meant to that team, the kind of person that he is, the kind of player that he is. He's always been a stand-up guy, the kind of leader that he is. You saw Yadier Molina run out and hug him. And when he comes up to bat late in the game with runners on and the and the opposing crowd is cheering him on. That's something special. That's not something that you'd see from a lot of fans for returning players. So I'm surprised that it lasted the entire weekend through, to be honest with you. I thought it would be a nice hand the first day in the tribute, the first day, but to see that carry through and him get the curtain call even to last night, that's special stuff for a special player, and he absolutely deserves every last bit of praise that he got.
How are you feeling about that if you're a member of the Cardinals in the dugout hearing that?
Yeah, you know, it's tough, and they've had a very, very up and down season. They've had some really good stretches where they go 8-2, 10-1. We've seen that. And then they have these stretches where they go 2-8 and they just look cold. And right now they're in the middle of a decent stretch again. But, you know, if you're a Cardinal right now, you just got to look at the season, and that's kind of like the icing on the cake. But I think at the same time, players are aware, and they know what kind of guy, what kind of player Pujols is, how much he meant to the team, obviously. So I don't think it weighs on them too much. But when you're sitting there in the dugout and hearing fans cheer for him that much, you kind of say, what the hell, man? This is an opposing guy. But I think that they understand just how much that he meant to the team. So it's probably not weighing on them too much. But certainly I think that there's a little bit of concern there when you're a home team and fans are so vigorously cheering on an opposing player. That's something.
How interesting is the dynamic, too? You look at the franchise, they had success immediately after he left, but it really seems like they've been searching for that superstar and not been able to find that. They may never find a superstar like they had in Albert Pujols. And from Albert's side, he's trying to recreate and find some of the magic he had in St. Louis, and age has not been kind to him.
Yeah, he had a few good years with the Angels at the beginning. It was never really anything that he could recreate. I mean, you're talking about some all-time great seasons offensively that he had with the Cardinals. So it's kind of tough to expect that from a player. And on the other side, we've seen across baseball, it's not easy to find superstar players, right? It's not easy to develop guys. It's not easy to draft. I mean, teams are always stuck in this rebuilding mode. You see that with the Orioles, haven't really developed guys for a long, long time. The Padres, up until this past season, haven't really followed that as well. It's hard for them to find a superstar. And I think with the Cardinals, you've seen that it's always been a total team effort with them. It's never been one guy after Pujols left, that is. It's always been, you know, Matt Carpenter and company. He's pretty much been their best player. Paul DeJong and company, who's been their best player this season. So it hasn't really borne fruit yet where the development they've developed good guys, good players. Don't get me wrong. Harrison Bader's a good player that they developed. Jack Flaherty hasn't had as great of a season this year, but that was another arm that they were relying on. But yeah, they haven't really found that guy, but it's not really easy to find that guy in baseball. It's not easy to develop that guy. It's just for how good of an organization St. Louis is, I don't really think you can hold that against them because they've had success anyway. But yeah, it's never easy to find a guy to replace a star like Pujols was. That's difficult. That would be difficult for any team in Major League Baseball.
How do you describe what Christian Yelich is doing in Milwaukee this season, especially in games at Miller Park?
Oh, man. Between him and Bellinger, it's just so fun to watch. I mean, Yelich is a guy that I've loved from day one. I mean, you just see it in his swing. And I'm not the guy that really pounds the old-school baseball player mentality, but everything about him is old-school. Just the way that he attacks the game, the way that he swings a bat, very level swing. He's not really selling out for launch angle like a lot of these guys are now, getting behind the baseball. It's just level through the ball, which is, I don't want to say it's inspiring to watch because I do understand where baseball is going in 2019 and beyond when it comes to the strikeouts. But, man, it's for a player like him to make Miller Park look like a playground, you know, like a sandbox, that's something special. He's just been so good, and that trade has worked out so well for them in every way. And yeah, that MVP race between him and Bellinger is going to be fun to watch down the stretch. And not to be lost is how good of a defender Yelich is too. And you can stick him anywhere in the outfield and he'll play well. So yeah, again, he's a guy that's just an old school player, old school mentality. You can see that in his game. And it's fun to watch.
Let's get to the pressing issue here with the Chicago Cubs. How soon are we going to see Craig Kimbrel up with the Cubs?
It sounds like he's got one more appearance at AAA, and he'll be up probably this week at some point, which I think they could definitely use. we know that the biggest question for the Cubs this season has been their pitching. Jose Quintana hasn't been very good for them. Yu Darvish hasn't been very good for them. So Cole Hamels has been good for them, and we know Kyle Hendricks is out until at least around the All-Star break. So you put Kimbrel in the bullpen, that definitely helps. But top to bottom, it's just been the pitching for them. They're 7 games over 500 now, so it's not really a cause for concern yet. I would have loved to see them make that move in the offseason and not really have to worry about signing him this late and really have to ask the question, hey, what's he going to be this season without a spring training? You know, that there's never really been cases with him and Keuchel that guys sign midway through the season and they're as effective as they were in the past. So there's still question marks there. It's not a given that Kimbrel's going to be great, but they could certainly use him in that bullpen, man. And they could certainly use all of the pitching help that they can get. I wouldn't be surprised if they're in on a starting pitcher at the trade deadline. There's going to be some names out there. Probably not a high-end guy, maybe a Matthew Boyd type from Detroit. That would make a lot of sense for them. You know, Mike Minor is getting a lot of run, too, as well. But they could use all of the pitching help that they can get. And it starts with Kimbrel, and it's a great move for them. We're going to see what he is, and we're going to see soon, because I'm pretty sure he's coming back this week.
Let's go to the NL East. The Philadelphia Phillies are not playing good baseball. Is it time for concern in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I want to say they're 6-16 in their last 22 games. So it's been going on for a while now. I think that Philly was a flawed team entering this year. I think that they were a flawed team last year. So to see the way that they finished out the season in September, it was like they were like 9-19 in September. They really 9-21 in September. They scuffled down the stretch. So, and I don't really think they did enough this offseason to address their biggest issue, which was always their pitching. I mean, Bryce Harper was good, and you were expecting Aaron Nola to have as good of a season as he had last year, and he had a very, very good May this year, but you're seeing the inconsistencies again. I know his hard hit percentage was way through the roof, so guys were squaring him up and they were hitting him hard. And I know that he threw a gem against the Marlins his last time out, but he still hasn't looked like Aaron Nola of last year. So when you have pitching issues like that and you're playing against Braves with a very, very loaded lineup, even the Mets with a pretty decent lineup anchored by Pete Alonso, I mean, you can't really have the pitching, that kind of poor pitching, and expect to compete in the division. So, yeah, I would be a little concerned if you're Philadelphia. I think that they were flawed entering the season, and you're kind of seeing that those flaws are showing themselves now.
A little over a month away from the trade deadline, what do you expect the Minnesota Twins to do? How do you think they'll handle things this season as they look to be primed to contend in the postseason?
They need bullpen help, and there's going to be plenty of bullpen guys out there. You're looking at the lefty from San Francisco, Will Smith. He's been a guy that a lot of people are talking about. We're going to see what the Cardinals are. I mean, this is a very, very big stretch for them to see if they can kind of stay in contention. They have two bullpen arms in Brevia and John Gant, the two Johns in the bullpen. Maybe one of them goes. I think that they could also use starting pitching help. I mean, it's not a secret. Every team in Major League Baseball could use starting pitching, right? That's just a fact of life this time in the season, heading towards October, and a team like the Twins who, you know, haven't had their fair share of postseason success in the last 10, 15 years. I think that they see that window is open now and they got to go out and get some guys. They're an excellent team. Obviously, offensively, they're probably the best in Major League Baseball. They're the most consistent in Major League Baseball. But I think relying on Jake Odorizzi to continue to have a fantastic season, I think that's kind of a gamble in and of itself. It's just tough. They're going to need another arm in that rotation, and I think they're going to need help in the bullpen too.
How dangerous are the New York Yankees going to be at the trade deadline with all the depth that they've built up with the injuries that they experience, and now they're starting to get healthy?
I think the biggest question there is what the Yankees are willing to give up and how much money they're willing to take on. I mean, I don't think they're really interested in trading away the farm for a rental. And the first guy that comes to mind is Madison Bumgarner. He's a free agent after this year, so I'm not sure if that's the direction they want to go. On his worst day, he's a number three starter, obviously another lefty. You know, you're going to hear the rumors about Max Scherzer and whether or not the Nationals are going to stay in contention long enough. That's kind of the monkey wrench that adding a second wild card that we've seen in the last 5 years or so can do to teams. A lot of teams think they can stay in it, and they have those hard decisions to make if they want to hold on to guys. So a guy like Max Scherzer, who next season has 10-5 rights, is going to be that much harder to trade, which is another facet of trying to move Scherzer maybe this year. So I think the Yankees have a lot of parts in their minor league system, Clint Frazier obviously being the big one. If they want to part with Estevan Florial, who's in high A ball, but everybody thinks he's going to be a star. Tyro Estrada, who's come up and played well for them as an infielder, second baseman, who's been very good for them this year, too. I don't think there's any shortage of guys they can trade to try and get that arm. But the question is, which one of the arms would they target, and how much of the farm system do they want to part with to get that guy?
How about Houston leading the American League West right now by 6.5 games over Texas? They don't seem to really have any holes to address. How could they make themselves better?
I do think they need bullpen help as well. I know Osuna and Ryan Pressly are both very good at the back end in the eighth and ninth inning. I know that both guys have had some trouble in the last week or so. Chris Devensky, who they really relied on, especially through that World Series run, hasn't been good for them this year. So they could probably add another arm in the bullpen there. I don't really think, aside from that, it's really tough to see where Houston is going to suffer, because we know their problem is not offense. Even with Correa out, even with Springer out, they have Yordan Alvarez, who comes up and, you know, hits 1,000 home runs. And Jose Altuve just got back, and he's played pretty well in a short sample size. So you really don't worry about offense with them. You don't worry about defense as much. They could probably use another good defensive player off the bench for the outfield, because Jake Marisnyk just hasn't gotten it done for them. So that would probably be another part. But they're just such – we knew this, and we've seen this coming for years, that this team just wasn't flawed. They're just so well put together. And the only question that they've always had was health. And you're seeing that the health kind of play into it a little bit this season. But if they could probably go out and get a bullpen guy, I think that would help them a lot. Maybe another back end starting pitcher, that would probably help them as well, because I know their starting pitching hasn't been great lately either. But yeah, I think when you look at that team and then just how well they're put together, they could probably sit still at the trade deadline and not have to worry about a thing. But they can make moves to improve, that's for sure.
Do the Dodgers need to go out and get another starter with the Rich Hill injury, or do they have enough depth to withstand this, because their starting rotation has just been absolutely lights out this year?
Yeah, I'm not worried. I'm not worried about the Dodgers at all, man. I mean, these guys, sometimes it's hard not to label a team of destiny, right? And when you look at what the Dodgers did, especially this past weekend, getting three straight walk-offs against the Rockies with three rookies in Verdugo, Beattie, and Will Smith, the catcher that came up. I mean, when things are going right for you like that, it's kind of hard to point to where a team is suffering too. I wouldn't worry too much about the rotation. I do think they have enough to withstand it. They're just such a talented team playing in such a weak division that even if they go on a bad stretch of baseball, if they have to part with some guys in their farm system, I just don't see that happening. I don't see them making a knee-jerk reactionary trade to try and figure that out. I just think they're so good. There's nothing to worry about with that team. They're by far, I think, the best team in the National League, probably the best team in baseball with the way they've been playing. So I know that there's going to be some trade things that swirl around them. I think that if they want to win that World Series, maybe you go get another pitcher to try and shore up that rotation. But I'm not concerned with them at all, and I don't think they are either.
Joe Rivera, The Sporting News, thanks for stopping by and chatting with us today.
Always. Thanks for having me on, guys. It's always a pleasure.
And again, give him a follow on Twitter if you're not already following along, at Joe Rivera, SN.
It was an emotional weekend, Todd. I know.
I followed along on Twitter, and I was there on opening day in 2012 when the Cubs played the Cardinals, and I saw quite a few altered Albert Pujols jerseys at Busch Stadium. But I think, as Joe put it best, time heals all wounds.
It sure does. And seeing him back, I didn't really have many expectations for this past weekend, but tuning in to the broadcast and seeing him back in the batter's box, it brings back the memories and puts in perspective how much of the love of the game that I grew as a kid was because of him. And this weekend proved, I'll put a number on it, about 75 to 80% was because of him and him alone. And I don't think that I'll ever see a superstar on my team that I grew up watching like him. It just, you come to that conclusion that it'll probably never happen again.
Fair or foul, giving an opponent a standing ovation and a curtain call. That's today's poll question at KGYMradio.com. Stop by and vote. Again, poll questions brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Hour number one still going strong. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we recap that big Hawkeye recruiting weekend with Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you right here on 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM and online at KGYMradio.com. Back after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Trying to take back your space and have old appliances, grills, and lawnmowers that don't work anymore and old tires in your garage or basement? Bring them to the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. Starting July 1st, appliances, scrap metal, and tires will only be accepted at 1954 County Home Road in Marion, the same location as the landfill and resource recovery building, so you can take care of all your disposal and recycling in one trip. Some items have a drop-off fee, so get pricing and other details at Solid Waste Agency.
Hey Amy, did you know the Honda Dream Deal sales event is literally happening right now, where you can literally get great deals on certified pre-owned Hondas?
Literally? I don't trust that word anymore ever since my coworker Jerry told me he could literally eat 1,000 burritos.
Well, that's literally impossible, but there is literally a Honda Dream Deal sales event happening right now. And Honda is KBB.com's 2019 best value brand. Seriously.
Now's the time to get a great deal on a certified pre-owned Honda at your local Honda dealer.
Based on 2019 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit kbb.com for more information.
The Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger is one of McDonald's most popular burgers in Spain. To try one, you'd have to reprogram your GPS,
recalculate it,
go to the airport, leave your car, buy a plane ticket, land in Madrid, and go to McDonald's.
Bienvenido a McDonald's.
Or you could hang that next left and get to your neighborhood McDonald's now. Because for a limited time, the juicy Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger and other worldwide favorites are here. Around the World is now around the corner at participating McDonald's for a limited time.
As we watch this suburban garden gnome carefully without disturbing it, we notice that it moves like not at all. It's inanimate and utterly without brain function. But despite that, when a garden gnome hears about how Geico not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, it's clear to them you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. But on second thoughts, maybe don't watch garden gnomes too carefully. People might talk.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our free AutoZone Loan-A-Tool program. It's simple. You choose from over 100 specialty tools, borrow the one you need, and get the job done right. The best part? It's all free. Our tools even come with operating instructions, so you'll know exactly how to use them. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Deposit required. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Have everything you need for your next oil change? Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and save on 5 quarts of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil and a MicroGuard filter for $24.99. Plus, earn triple O rewards points. Protect your engine with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Imagining a better bank starts with looking at the savings rates most banks offer and saying, really? Capital One is building something better. You can open a Capital One savings account with one of the nation's best savings rates from anywhere, like here,
or here,
or here. One of the nation's best savings rates. Opened online, at a Capital One location, or from anywhere. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
I'm not a big talker. I am a big doer. But sometimes the only way to solve the problem is to get on the horn and figure it out. So the only people I like talking to? Grainger. With knowledgeable product experts, ready with the answers to my toughest questions, calling Grainger is the one conversation I don't mind having. From machining and motor parts to valves and vacuum pumps, when it comes to solving my problems, Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Baseball, golf, the pinnacle of playoff season. It's what makes this time of year so exciting. But to get out there and take in all the sports you love, you need to protect your engine. So choose Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oil. It's the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. That's right, natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. So all you have to worry about is the score. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Takeru Kobayashi, Joey Chestnut, two record-setting champions.
And they're underway. It's eat all you can in 12 minutes.
We were pushing each other to limits that neither one of us thought we were going to go to.
We had a great rivalry. There's nothing like it.
What if I told you there was even more beef behind the scenes?
I didn't expect the rivalry to end the way it did.
The Good, the Bad, the Hungry. Next Tuesday at 8 p.m. on ESPN.
Yeah, welcome back in the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Monday afternoon here in Eastern Iowa, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, the South and North Gyms, respectively in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, and online at KGYMradio.com. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com said to join us coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We're also going to talk about Rob's favorite Major League Baseball team, the New York Mets, who seem to be just as dysfunctional as ever. It's hard to look at this team and think back to 2015, just 3.5 short seasons ago when that team was in the World Series, and oh, how far they've come, but not in a great way. Yelling profanities at a beat writer yesterday, and you have a starting pitcher who tried to fight said beat writer. Dysfunction of the highest order. 319-366-1600. Mondays on the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Randy's Flooring. Proud to be a supporter of the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital. You can head over to their website, randysflooring.com, to find out how select purchases can help support the Children's Hospital. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, as we mentioned, Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com set to join us. A big recruiting weekend for the Iowa football program as they start to put the finishing touches on the 2020 class and add a few more building blocks to the 2021 class.
Excited to get his thoughts on that. And you mentioned the dysfunction. I know we're going to get to that in a second. It just got me to thinking which other organization completely fills that void of dysfunction.
We'll get to that as hour number two kicks off next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. At this hour, the U.S. got a scare from Spain at the Women's World Cup today. Each team had a goal in the first 10 minutes. Match stayed tied until Megan Rapinoe's game winner in the 76th minute. Rapinoe scored both goals, both on penalties. The second after a lengthy VAR review. The Americans, with a 2-1 victory, will play France Friday. 7 days before the start of NBA free agency, somebody's put up two digital billboards about 10 miles southeast of Staples Center, pitching NBA Finals MVP and Southern California native Kawhi Leonard on a potential move to the Clippers. They contain Clipper-related hashtags, though a team source told ESPN the Clippers know nothing about it. Remaining with the Raptors, though, is the best call for Kawhi, according to ESPN's Scottie Pippen.
Have an opportunity to go back and play with your teammates and not really leave them hanging. I think they're all looking forward to trying to defend this title. So I would say a one-year deal and stay. Those other teams are still going to be coming at him. He's one of the top players in the game. There's no rush.
Baseball Cardinals closer Jordan Hicks has a torn UCL in his pitching elbow. Team did not disclose whether he'll have surgery.
Coming up Tuesday, the guys are back from their weekend at Pinehurst, and I get to the bottom of Trey's questionable strategies. Plus, when trying to lure a free agent, have billboards ever worked? Golic and Wingo Tuesday, 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Learn more at ncsei.com.
because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
The Dan Le Batard Show podcast.
Do you wear deodorant?
Well, this was jarring.
40% of young adults 18 to 24 do not wear deodorant.
95% of the audience said yes.
Young adults don't listen to us.
We can now start calling millennials unclean on top of a foul-smelling millennial.
Yeah, we can.
Do you want more from the Dan Le Batard Show? Download the podcast right now on iTunes or on the ESPN app.
5:02, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Monday afternoon, being presented by the good folks at Randy's Flooring, local experts by design. Check them out in Cedar Rapids or in Coralville on the Coralville Strip. You can also learn more online at randysflooring.com, the Monday presenting sponsor for the program. If you missed Joe Rivera of the Sporting News, he was with us in the 4 o'clock hour. Caught up with him earlier today prior to the news that the Cardinals will now be without closer Jordan Hicks, not only for the remainder of this season, but most likely all of 2020. Torn UCLA. That's UCL. That is assuming that he will have surgery. As you may have heard the SportsCenter update, the Cardinals did not disclose whether or not he would be undergoing surgery. We'll get to the College World Series here in the 5 o'clock hour, as well as the U.S. Women's National Team headed to the quarterfinals of the Women's World Cup after a 2-1 victory over Spain today, thanks in large part to the performance of Megan Rapinoe. That and more to come, plus Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com is with us to recap what was a very fruitful weekend of visitors for Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa football program. But first, I saw you congratulating the Dan Le Batard Show on Twitter earlier today. Was it because of the millennials and deodorant segment?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
They had a segment earlier on about just the treatment of people. I'll leave it at that. They wanted to make it as a little about politics as possible, and I thought they did a very, very good job of doing so.
Do you wear deodorant? I feel like I need to ask this question now after hearing that, though. Deodorant?
Oh, absolutely. Yes or no? Of course.
Kyle, thumbs up. Deodorant? No deodorant. Okay.
So he says that millennials don't use deodorant?
I read that same study over the weekend. I think it was a large percentage of people in that age range that said they do not wear deodorant. There might be.
Why? Who does these studies? And is it because millennials get fed up with all these surveys? They don't like taking. Maybe it's because they just don't like taking surveys and they just want to be condescending.
I'm never mentioning soccer again. I mispronounced her name.
Megan Rapinoe. It's
there you go. I see. I try to do a good thing. I try to be a patriotic American, and the next thing you know, I open mouth, insert foot. So the easiest way to make sure that never happens again is to no longer address the topic of soccer on this program.
It works for me.
Or to do so in as broad of terms as possible. A female put the ball in the net 2 times, and now they will be off to the quarterfinals where I believe they play France. Kyle looks like he wants to weigh in.
Does she use deodorant?
I would hope so. I would hope all professional, or in this particular instance, not professional, but highly, highly trained athletes would.
That's a hit piece. I just wanted to pop in. That's a hit piece. Alex, you have friends. Do you have you encountered this non-deodorant? You would know if you have a problem.
No, you can really tell if someone's not wearing deodorant.
This is not something I've run into in my experience with millennials, and I've ran into a few of them over the years.
Of all the smelly people that I've come across, millennials usually aren't in that category.
That's a good point, and I don't want to get into the mudslinging back and forth, but it's not the millennials who stink, okay? That's it.
I have an acquaintance who does not fall into the millennial category.
See, nobody even knows what the
very particular about what type of deodorant he uses, and it has to not have a lot of chemicals in it because he's very environmentally...
Okay.
He's in tune with the environment.
So does this deodorant not smell very good?
I don't know. It's been a long time since I've wanted to be around this particular individual. I kid, just on the off chance that he may be listening.
Okay.
I made the mistake the last time. I'm not particular about deodorant. It's important. I don't necessarily mind as long as I have deodorant around, but I made the mistake of the last time that my wife and son went shopping and it was on the list of things to pick up from Costco that I did not specify, nor could my wife remember the type of deodorant that I preferred to wear. And so the decision on what deodorant to purchase was made by my son, who picked out, and this is for all of you folks out there who are in marketing and you want to target soon-to-be 3-year-old boys with your marketing campaign. I think it's Dove that was doing the big Father's Day campaign, right, and Father's Rights, and apparently on the outer packaging was a picture of a dad holding up a baby, and my son spotted it, and he said, "Buy that one, Mommy. It's got a daddy and a baby on it." So there you go. If you're into selling anything to a 3-year-old boy, just put a daddy and a baby on it. 319-366-1600. Text line is exploding. It's either over the soccer reference or the deodorant discussion. I know the listeners here. I think it's probably going to be deodorant related, but I don't want to necessarily go down that road before I peek to make sure.
We've had several people trying to classify millennials, and here's the secret about that. I don't think anybody who uses millennials in any of these hit pieces knows exactly what... I don't feel like there's a set age range of millennials. I feel like anyone between like 20 and 35
fit in there. Thank you. I'm 39. I've never in a million years felt like a quote-unquote millennial. But I don't know what one is. I think if you use the term millennial, you most certainly are not one. That probably simplifies things to a certain extent. But they've been blamed for ruining everything, and now, as Kyle said, this is perhaps a hit piece.
They don't use deodorant.
Big deodorant. Who paid for that study, by the way? Was it big deodorant? You always have to follow the money. Follow the money, as I believe it was Deep Throat said. Follow the money, and you'll find...
Damn you, Old Spice.
There you go. Now I'm whistling the Old Spice thing in my head. 319-366-RAPINO. How have I never... I guess I've never been called upon to pronounce it correctly. I've read it a million times, and in my head, it's always been Rapino. Rapino. Well, there you go. You learn something every day, and I show my ignorance every single day.
The only reason that I know how to pronounce her name is I can hear the English announcer screaming her name over and over and over again. I'm not going to attempt a British accent by any means, but I have that sound just caught in my head.
Matt in Fairfax says he spends 5+ minutes sniffing the deodorant before he purchases every single time and doesn't know why he can't stick with one. There are a variety of deodorant options out there.
There are.
Now, if you're looking for sports talk radio, local sports talk radio here in Eastern Iowa, this is about it between 4 and 7. So I don't know whether there's any correlation there or not. Well, you don't really get any choices, and I understand that. And you're too. My dad, we're at dad's funeral services on Friday, and it really was a lovely service. And I got an opportunity to catch up with some family members that I have not chatted with in a very long time. And one of them, and I struggle, I don't even know, this is not a blood relation, so I don't even know how to explain it. But my aunt, who's married to my dad's brother, was married for a child from a previous marriage, so not even a blood relation. So I guess sort of technically like a distant, distant cousin. But he came up to me, and we were there at the cemetery, and we were making some small talk, and I was trying to explain to some of my family from out of town how to locate Buzzy's Tap in Welton, Iowa, which is where we went for the luncheon afterwards, a little free advertising for Buzzy's. Try the tacos. And he just comes up to me and he says, "So, the Todd Brummelkamp show." And I'm like, yeah. And he had come across it online and had actually listened to a couple podcasts from the sound of it. And he was asking me, "What's that like?" And I said, "Do you really want me to be honest with you?" And that's a great example there. That first 5 minutes is you're never more vulnerable than when you sit behind an open microphone and you have to keep talking. It's like the movie Speed with Keanu Reeves, where the bus will detonate, the bus will blow up if it drops below 55 miles an hour. The one thing that you can't do in this industry, in this business, is to just sit behind the microphone and do this. You get in trouble for that. Silence, the sounds of silence, not particularly welcome in this industry. So I was trying to explain to him that, look, you open your mouth and lots of times you fart out things that are inaccurate or they're not right, or you will say something and the minute that you say it, the minute that the words cross your lips, you realize, oh crap, that's not right. And then you've exposed yourself to the world as not necessarily a fraud and a charlatan, but just a rube, a moron. And that's the best way that I can describe this. So now here I am. And if you don't think that this is going to be sitting with me now for the rest of my career, I can tell you that I will never make that mistake again. But I made the mistake once, and that's bad enough, because for a couple people, that's probably enough reason to never take me seriously again in my life. Not that anybody should be taking me seriously. I know I've told the story before about being corrected when I was at the University of Iowa and made a reference to the UI Fieldhouse, and I did not spell it properly because I spelled it as one word as opposed to field space house capital H. And I was corrected on that, and I never made that mistake again. And that was probably, if I'm doing the math here in my head, I bet that was 20 years ago. It was probably 1999. So, yeah, I don't let things go very easily. They always stick with me. But that's, I was trying to explain to him, and then I also was like, you don't need to listen. You don't need to listen to the podcast. He's like, "Well, what do you talk about?" He's like, "Well, sometimes we talk about the Cubs. I'm a Cubs fan. You live near Chicago. Listen to the guys who talk about them every single day." 319-366-1600. And then we all went and we ate and everybody went their separate ways. And it was fantastic until I got that phone call 2 days later that my aunt had passed away. 515, Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com coming up with us shortly. We're going to talk about dysfunctional, speaking of dysfunction, the original intent of this segment was to talk about dysfunctional franchises. We've still got 10 minutes. We can still do this. The New York Mets. Are the Mets the epitome of a dysfunctional franchise? Are they up there with the Oakland Raiders? I don't know what it is about New York, but the Knicks come to mind.
The Knicks.
If you had to pick one from every sport, I'd be really, really locked in on one from three of the four major sports. I don't know enough about hockey to be able to tell you whether they're... The Blackhawks, many, many decades ago, a couple decades ago, in my opinion, would have qualified as an ineptly run disaster of a franchise, but they've been able to turn things around. If you're unaware, the Mets lose at Wrigley Field yesterday. Seth Lugo is left in the game as a reliever, having thrown 60-some pitches. And Edwin Diaz, whom the Mets traded for, along with Robinson Cano, is in the bullpen, and he's not even warming up in a key, high-leverage situation. Mickey Callaway, the Mets manager, decides to remain with Seth Lugo. and Lugo surrenders what ultimately is the game-winning home run to Javier Baez. It was absolutely beautiful. My brother-in-law and I were watching it on his phone as our kids were playing with one another. And after the game, things get a little testy. This has been a topic of conversation between the beat writers and Mickey Callaway, the Mets manager, all season long. He doesn't believe in using Edwin Diaz for five-out saves. If it were a four-out save situation, perhaps he would have had, but he wasn't even warming up, so I don't buy the scenario that he would have used him for a four-out save in that instance. And then after the game, a Mets beat writer, Tim Healy, I believe he works for Newsday, said something along the lines of, "See you tomorrow, Mickey," to Callaway as he was leaving. And this is a guy, Callaway, who's job security is day-to-day, so I don't know whether he was still sore about the loss, but he basically goes on this F-bomb-laden tirade, demands to have the writer removed from the press box, and Jason Vargas, who's a starting pitcher for the Mets, basically threatens to fight and knock out, calls him bro, which I thought was a very baseball move, threatens to knock out the reporter. And all of this is going on, and the Mets are a huge dumpster fire. And for a lot of people who cover the Mets, they're like, yeah, this is just a Sunday. Just a typical Sunday with this organization, because the ownership of the team, the Wilpons, it's a father-son duo, they can't seem to get out of their own way.
That's when you know a dysfunctional franchise, when you see it. No matter who is the manager in this case or a coach in another sport, no matter who the players are, no matter who the general manager is, the same problems persist year after year after year. That's why I'm glad you bring up the Oakland Raiders. I know we make fun of John Gruden and Mike Mayock all the time. They're sort of the caricature of what the Raiders have been going through and put themselves through for years. In this case, the Mets, no matter who the manager is, no matter who the general manager is, the same problems persist year after year after year, and now they're sort of coming to a head with the incidents of yesterday. And it's been a little bit, Mickey Callaway's handling of the bullpen is one of the biggest knocks against him.
And this is a guy who made his bones as a pitching coach.
Right.
He was a former major league pitcher and came up through the Cleveland Indians system as a pitching coach. He was in Lake County several years ago in the Midwest League and got an opportunity to manage at the big league level. And if you're a pitching coach, if you're a former pitcher, you would think the one thing you would know how to handle is a pitching staff. And he has been very hesitant. I'd say old school, because there's a new school of thought among baseball personnel that if it's the sixth inning and your team is ahead by one or two runs and it's a high leverage situation and you've got a Craig Kimbrell or you've got an Edwin Diaz, you bring them in right there, because what good are they to you in the ninth inning if you're trailing by four runs by the time you get to that point
right.
in the game? So you use your best relief pitcher when you absolutely need them the most. And yesterday at Wrigley Field, it was very clear in that moment that Lugo was running out of gas or was already out of gas. And of all people, you're going to leave him in to face Javier Baez. It kind of like dropping a mouse into a cage with a python. You sort of know nature's going to take its course. And nature took its course, and the Cubs won. And as such, still lead the National League Central.
And this was about a week after Mickey Callaway admitted to the media that he took Jacob DeGrom out of a start in the ninth inning because he didn't want him to allow any more inherited runners that could possibly increase his ERA. This is a long, ongoing thing with him, and some of these answers sort of go to show you, you know what, maybe this guy isn't the most fit person to be managing a team in 2019 when the one thing that you were counting on him being able to do, he is incredibly horrible at, managing a pitching staff.
My favorite story from yesterday, it was shared by a couple Cubs beat writers on Twitter, was as the writers were making their way back to the press box, Jordan Bastian, who covers the Cubs for MLB.com, had not looked at Twitter yet and had turned to a couple Mets beat writers making small talk on the way back to the press box and asked them, so how did the post game go? You can't make that up. Well, do you want the long story? You want the long version or the short version? One of the, and then today, nobody's lost their job. Nobody's really in trouble over this. Major League Baseball, in theory, could fine and suspend Callaway and Vargas. Today, Mickey Callaway has a news conference in which he addresses the situation and invokes Billy Martin, of all people, and said, well, you know, Billy Martin once punched a guy. I'm just a fiery personality. And Vargas...
You're kidding me.
Vargas didn't say much of anything of substance and then refused to answer questions from the rest of the reporters. He basically made a statement and turned around and walked away. And all of this is going on, and there seems to be no end in sight here. The deals that Brody Van Wagenen, the new general manager of the Mets, put together in the offseason to try to build this team, they seem to have backfired a little bit. Robinson Cano was criticized earlier in the year for not hustling, and then he hustles and he winds up on the injured list. Edwin Diaz has not been the electric closer that the Mets expected him to be. They've got some other guys who are underperforming. And now you've got a manager who's threatening members of the media, and you've got people who cover the team that are basically saying, yeah, this is just another day.
He used Billy Martin as an excuse for his behavior.
He brought up, I don't want to necessarily say it's Billy Martin as an excuse, but he brought him up and said, basically, that was the measuring stick.
Was this like Happy Gilmore? At least I didn't hit anybody.
Pretty much. He's like, and Billy Martin punched a reporter one time. I'm a passionate guy about baseball. I'm a tough competitor. That was the quote. Billy Martin also fought a marshmallow salesman in a bar. I believe it was in Kansas City. Maybe it was Minnesota. Bill Pennington has a great biography of Billy Martin out there. I highly recommend that you read it. And I also highly recommend that you don't loan it to a member of the Cedar Rapids Gazette sports staff, because it will be returned to you in less than mint condition. And I only mention that because I like this particular guy, and he's very, very sensitive. And he felt really bad about he wanted to buy me a new copy of the book. He was offering to replace the book because I think the cover got a little tear in it or something. And I was like, dude, it's cool. We're good. Doesn't bother me. I can still read the book. No worries. He took it very, very seriously that he had taken a piece of my personal property into his possession and not returned it in perfect condition. But do read that book, the Billy Martin biography, because it's fantastic. I don't think anybody's going to be writing a biography of Mickey Callaway anytime in the near future. I feel safe saying that. 525, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to get you a big board update, and then Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com, who happens to be a fan of the New York Mets. So we will not only get his thoughts on a big recruiting weekend for the Hawkeyes, but we'll have him weigh in on Mickey Gate. I can't call it anything else. I'll get in trouble if I use that particular language. All on the way, Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented on Mondays by the good folks at Randy's Flooring. You can check them out in Cedar Rapids and in Coralville on the Coralville Strip. Randy's has been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. Big board update on the way after this.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day alive. Member FDIC.
Bring your furry four-legged friends to the Colonels this Wednesday for Bark in the Park. Participants must register their dog online at Colonels.com and purchase tickets for you and your dog. All proceeds from the dog tickets benefit Critter Crusaders. Visit Colonels.com and get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Whether your project's below ground, above ground, or you're just breaking ground, United Rentals has the equipment and tools you need. We sell expertly maintained used equipment from forklifts and backhoes to scissor lifts and boom lifts. Visit us online to search our inventory of more than 4,000 equipment categories and get custom information on any unit. Visit unitedrentals.com/used today.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired, but your guests do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Drywall, painting, general carpentry, kitchens, countertops, and alterations, and remodeling to business properties. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
See their work and get in touch at jacksonremodel.com.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
No game today. The Twins enjoying an off day at home before the Tampa Bay Rays are in town for a three-game series beginning on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
529, we welcome you back in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented on Mondays by Randy's Flooring. Local flooring by design. Stop in and check out one of their two corridor showrooms, either in Cedar Rapids or in Coralville on the Coralville Strip, and you see why Randy's staff makes all the difference. Kyle is with us now. He's going to bring you a big board. But first, this is kind of cool. You and I were discussing this earlier today in the office. The celebrity softball game, the Perfect Game, is putting on at Veterans Memorial Stadium next month. We ran down last week some of the participants.
It was an impressive lineup before today.
Yes, Trevor Hoffman, the Hall of Famer who pitched here in Cedar Rapids way back in 1991 with the Cedar Rapids Reds among that lineup. Today, an addition to the lineup. Bo Jackson, former Heisman Trophy winner and two-sport star, baseball and football, going to be participating in that charity softball event at Veterans Memorial Stadium, which I think adult tickets are $10 and children's tickets are something like $5. So looking forward to that coming up, I think, about a month from now. It's late July, if I remember correctly.
Remember the ongoing discussion we've had about celebrities that I have to go see if they're in town?
Yes.
I now have to purchase a ticket to the celebrity softball game, and I will absolutely be in attendance. It was already kind of teetering on that point, but you throw Bo Jackson into that lineup, I will be there on the 22nd.
Don't buy a ticket. Play the media card. Play the don't-you-know-who-I-am card.
It's a charity softball event. I can
Channel,
I have $10.
Channel your inner Stugatz. 319-366-1600. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com set to be with us shortly. Also, a Big Ten team playing for a College World Series title for the first time since 1966 tonight as Michigan takes on Vanderbilt in Omaha. We'll get to that and more. But Kyle's got a big board update for you right now, brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can check them out at their temporary location, 2802 Independence Road in Iowa City, or the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
It was labeled as one of the biggest recruiting weekends in recent memory for the Hawkeyes, and six commitments later, it's safe to say it's right up there. It started on Friday with Cedar Rapids Kennedy four-star offensive lineman Connor Colby. The junior to be in the class of 2021 stands 6'5" and 270 pounds and comes highly coveted, also holding offers from Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Nebraska. The rest of the guys were all in the class of 2020. A.J. Lawson's a three-star defensive back from Illinois. Lucas Van Ness is a three-star defensive end from Illinois. Reggie Bracey, a three-star safety from Alabama. Brendan Diaz-Fernandez, a three-star DB from Michigan. And Jay Higgins, a two-star from Indiana. The Cyclones didn't spend the weekend snoozing, though. They received pledges from Hunter Deckers, a three-star in-state quarterback, three-star Ohio offensive lineman Sam Rangert, three-star Missouri defensive end Johnny Wilson, and three-star JUCO receiver Xavier Hutchinson. And on the basketball side of things, Cyclone fans may want to keep an eye on five-star center and Folly Dante, who told the Des Moines Register's Matthew Bain, Iowa State is very much in consideration. Former Hawkeye Tyler Cook has signed a partially guaranteed deal with the Denver Nuggets. He'll have a chance to earn a spot on the roster, but will have to do so without playing in the summer league after suffering an ankle injury working out for the Pistons. The Colonels and Twins are both off today, but looking ahead to tomorrow, the Colonels are back in town hosting the Timber Rattlers, and we're going to have the Twins and Rays right here on KGYM.
Rob Howe set to join us shortly from HawkeyeNation.com. As we mentioned there on the big board, a big recruiting weekend for Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes as the 2019 or 2020 recruiting class just about full at this point with 20 commitments, but 2021 starting to take off as well, and a very nice performance over the weekend for Matt Campbell in Iowa State as well. That latest commitment, a junior college wide receiver. So things are shaping up for Iowa and Iowa State to both be on the uptick over the next couple seasons, which adds even more intensity to that fantastic Cy-Hawk rivalry already. We've got a poll question for you today at KGYMradio.com. It centers around the standing ovation and curtain call that Albert Pujols received in St. Louis over the weekend, and it was a weekend-long love affair with Albert Pujols. Fair or foul for an opposing player to get that type of treatment at your ballpark? Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. I expected at the first game of the series for it to continue all throughout the weekend. I think that would rub me the wrong way if I were a Cardinals player, perhaps one who had not played with Albert Pujols, but there are still guys there, Yadier Molina, Adam Wainwright, who have been around long enough to be a Pujols teammate. It just seems to me, okay, yeah, welcome the guy back the first time and then move on. But it was an emotional weekend, and because of the way that the interleague schedule works out, this is the first time that he had been back there since leaving St. Louis and taking that high-dollar contract in Anaheim, which wound up being a great move for the Cardinals.
It was. I think that this weekend you sort of got that sinking question of how would his career have played out had he stayed. I'm not saying that he would be anywhere near the player that he was for the first 11 years of his career, but as far as the ovations go, for a normal player, yeah, I think that they get one ovation and it's done. But for a guy like that who could go down as a top five, top three right-handed hitter to ever play the game, one of the best hitters I have ever seen, and all that he did for that organization, it was just so cool to see that not let up, to see them continue to give ovation after ovation for what he did in the 11 years he was in St. Louis. And if you're a player for the Cardinals, you realize if I leave a legacy in St. Louis, the fans are going to treat me well when I return as well. So I thought that's what I took from it, and I think the players, at least from hearing from them, understood exactly what Albert meant to St. Louis.
You can let us know your thoughts. Again, the poll question available at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway. As promised, we bring you Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com. And Rob, before we get to the Hawkeyes, how are things going with the Mets these days?
I think I was on with you guys in the spring, and we talked about the ineptitude of the Jets after they fired their general manager after the draft. Then recently I was on before the NBA draft talking about the Knicks tanking and then still not getting Zion Williamson. And, yeah, here we are with the Mets and, you know, par for the course, for lack of a better stereotype or cliche. Yeah, they're a mess. And, you know, it should make people feel better about the teams they root for when they consider the fandom that I've had for my whole life and continue to try to just laugh at, because that's about all you could do at this point.
I'm trying to think. I mean, there have been some moments in the past where an Iowa coach has bristled at something that a media member has said, but there's nothing along the line. I'm trying to imagine Kirk Ferentz even tiptoeing anywhere close to this line. And then today, everybody acts like it's business as usual, which is perhaps even more fitting for that franchise.
Yeah, and I know people are going to probably roll their eyes at this, but this is just one of those, defense mechanisms when things are just in disarray in athletics and elsewhere in life as well, but we won't get into that. But to lash out at the media. To blame the media, to pick on the media, try to deflect what's really going on and blame somebody else. The one thing that surprised me, and I looked for it today, and maybe it's come out since, there was no video of this. And that's rare these days, that there's not some type of evidence of this stuff, like a Hal McRae video. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Something like that. That would have added even more juice to this thing, but maybe it was more of an isolated incident where it was just these two guys and the reporter and nobody shot video, or people maybe were afraid of video. But from what I've heard, I've never been in there, but the Cubs clubhouse for the visitors is pretty tight, so I would think everybody was close together.
I was going to say they probably didn't have the room to reach into their pockets and pull out their phones would be my guess. So let's get to why we've actually got you on the program today, and that's the big recruiting weekend that the Hawkeyes had. It's hard to look back on this and recall that in the very beginning, Kirk Ferentz wasn't quite a fan of this visit schedule or the cycle that they had to set up with the early signing period and everything. And now it seems like this late June bringing kids in on visits really seems to be paying dividends for them.
Yeah, I agree, Todd. And if you remember the first year of the earlier signing period in December, Iowa had a big official visit weekend at the beginning of December. That was their original plan. I think it was 2017. And a similar thing happened. They had their commitments, their verbal commitments already in, and then they got other commitments that were in on that visit. But the past two summers, they've pushed that up into June, and a similar thing has happened where they're getting, you know, a good portion of their class out of the way before the season even starts, before the summer's over. A dead period started today and runs through July 24th. So I think last year they may have had it maybe a week before the dead period start. They bumped right up to the dead period this time. And for those that don't know, dead period doesn't mean you can't have any contact. You just can't have face-to-face contact. They can still text and talk on the phone and, you know, Snapchat or whatever they do these days. But they've kind of gotten it to a point now where they're really comfortable right before that dead period and things don't open up again until August. They're at 19 commitments now. I don't think they've had less than 20 since 2009 or 2010. And this is kind of, people have asked me how close are they. It's kind of a fluid situation because kids leave the program, there's injuries, things like that. I just kind of estimate that this class will be in the 20 to 25 range. That's the safe estimate at this point of where it will end up. I think last year they had 7 or 8 commitments between mid-May and the dead period, and this year they had, I think, 8 or 9. So pretty similar pattern to the last 2 years, and I think Iowa was pretty comfortable with it.
Rob, we knew going into the weekend that it was going to be a big weekend for the Iowa football program recruiting-wise. When the dust has settled, when it's all said and done, did it almost exceed expectations?
That's a good question, Alex. I think the coaches felt pretty comfortable with the guys that they had in and the guys that committed. They've built long relationships with, and this was the next step, I guess, of the courting process where most of these kids, I think, with the exception of a couple, had already been on unofficial visits to Iowa or had Iowa out to their school in May during that open period, evaluation period, or during the season. So they've built, you know, none of these guys kind of came out of nowhere. These are all guys they've established relationships with, and I think they felt pretty good going into the weekend. But, you know, five in the 2020 class out of this official visit weekend is probably pretty pleasing. That's probably high end for what they were hoping for. And then Connor Colby out of Cedar Rapids Kennedy was just a kind of the cherry on top. He kind of got things rolling on Friday, and yeah, just a tremendous recruit, a kid that went and camped at Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State earlier this month, and all three of those schools offered him. So you can tell he is the real deal. He went out on the camp circuit, earned those offers, and came home and decided, yep, I saw what's out there, but I'm staying home. And that's really a big feather in the cap for the Iowa coaching staff.
Let's talk about Connor Colby for a second. You mentioned the offers. The offer list is impressive, especially for somebody so young. But what has it been like to watch the Cedar Rapids Kennedy product, his recruitment, just blow up seemingly in a couple of months?
Yeah, and that's kind of the way you go a lot of times when the kids are in that sophomore to junior year. That's really a one, especially now with the recruit. We talk about the recruiting clock being sped up, and it seems like it keeps getting quicker every year. And to his credit, he went out there on the road, took up those invitations. A lot of times kids will say, you know, I'll stay close to home. And you look at a kid maybe like Tristan Wirfs, for example, who I think committed between his sophomore and junior year. He didn't go out and do those camps. He was a guy that just was from Mount Vernon. He was looking at Iowa State. He was looking at Iowa. He wanted to stay close to home. I give Colby credit for going out there and showing what he could do on a national level. At the Rivals camp, at the opening, at these team camps, and really showed what he was worth. And, you know, the Iowa coaches identified him early. They offered a while back, as did Iowa State, Nebraska. He had those offers before this, Minnesota. Virginia Tech even offered him, I think, earlier this spring. So a guy who was kind of on that radar then got out there and showed in person what he could do, and then continued to blow up. And, yeah, he's a heck of an athlete and a kid that I think is kind of primed. I get people that are so paranoid. They're like, oh, I hope he's not the next Ross Pierschbacher, and Alabama comes in and snags him. And you never know, but it's nice that Iowa's got the commitment in hand this early.
Rob Howe with us of HawkeyeNation.com, recapping a big recruiting weekend for the Iowa football program. Which one of these 2020 kids most intrigues you personally as somebody who covers recruiting?
Are you talking about the kids that just recently committed?
The ones that committed, not the ones that are still out there.
Okay. Well, for the whole class itself, and I'll make the caveat here, Deuce Hogan is the guy who's getting a lot of run publicity-wise, and he's the quarterback from Grapevine, Texas. He was the first one in the class. He's done a tremendous job of helping to bring guys in after him and help recruit this class. And I think leaving him out of the equation because the quarterback gets enough attention as it is. I really like Elijah Yelverton. He's a tight end out of Bishop Dunn High School in Texas. Obviously, we know how much success Iowa's had with that position. And it's a kid who picked Iowa over schools like Georgia, Florida, LSU. I mean, you were wondering if the Sant-Hawkinson effect would take hold and how soon it would take hold. This kid, you know, Michigan, Michigan State, Ole Miss, Nebraska, I mean, he had a who's list of offers and chose Iowa. He saw that vision of, okay, I see what they're doing with tight ends there. And Iowa's missed on some other tight ends in this class that you wonder, you know, why not come in. I mean, there's an opening there. You lost two guys to the NFL. There are opportunities there. This kid jumped on it. And I just, you know, really athletic, 6'5", 235, 240 already, really runs well, nice hands. He would be the guy that sticks out to me most at this point.
When you look at the recruiting class as a whole, and I know every year it's a sort of a crapshoot because a lot of times they're taking best players that they can get their hands on, but was there a position or two of emphasis going into this class that they have addressed?
Yes, I do think so, Alex. I think defensive line, and if you look at, you can usually tell by looking at the current roster, Iowa lost 4 starting defensive linemen off of last year's team. You got Golston and Epinesa, Reef, and who can help me out here? Who's the other? Oh, Lattimore. So you've got 4 guys that could potentially lead them again this next year, and they've addressed that, hitting the defensive line pretty hard in this class. And, you know, that's – we talked about, you know, Lucas Van Ness is a guy who committed over the weekend. And going back to a couple of, the in-state kid, they got Logan Jones out of Council Bluffs, Lewis Central. They've hit the defensive line pretty hard, and they've also done well on the offensive line. You look again, you've got Alaric Jackson, you've got Wirfs, Cole Banwart's getting upperclassmen now, some of the other guys, the Paulsons. So they're getting kind of older at those, that you know, in the trenches on both sides of the ball, and they've addressed that, I think, in this recruiting class pretty well.
Well, Rob, while we've got you on the phone here, I don't know whether you've been able to follow along or not, but it sounds like Iowa has picked up another commitment. What do you know about Aaron Witt out of Minnesota?
Oh, did that just happen?
Just happened, yeah. While we were talking, we're probably keeping you from work right now, so my bad.
No, that's perfectly all right. We'll get to him. Yeah, not surprising, and I know that's an overused statement, but he really liked Iowa a lot in the process. Kid from Minnesota, committed to Minnesota, and stop me if you've heard this before, decided that he may have jumped too early on that commitment. PJ Fleck backed away from it, I believe, in the middle of last month, visited Iowa State, visited Iowa. He had other schools, Missouri, Kansas State, a lot of the regional Power 5 schools were interested in him, and Iowa did a good job identifying him early and offering early. Pretty athletic defensive end, again, a position that we just talked about. Alex asked about positions of need. Pretty athletic defensive end, and I believe he is the 5th or 6th defensive lineman out of the 20 in this class, so that was definitely a position of need, and they addressed it again with a really good player.
Now, I know you wrote about this at HawkeyeNation.com in regards to Reginald Bracey, the recruit they got out of Alabama, but how much is Iowa feeling the effects of Derek Foster's connections in the South on the recruiting trail?
I think he's really done a good job, Alex. And you know, LeVar Woods went down there and kind of got things established in the Atlanta area, and they've been able to get some kids out of that part of Georgia, you know, Atlanta and the suburbs. And I think Derek has kind of expanded that in the South to Arkansas, Alabama. He's helping in Florida as well. And Reginald Bracey, I interviewed him. He got offered, I believe, in early April. And I talked to him last month, and he really gushed over Derek Foster. Said, you know, he made me feel wanted. He made me feel like I could go away from home, and he has my best interest at hand. And if you guys have been around Derek, he kind of projects that, you know, he projects that caring nature. And I think the guys kind of feel that. And it's great. I mean, if you look at the guys that committed, you've got, you know, Bracey from Alabama, Witt from Minnesota. These are just guys that committed from these official visits. Jay Higgins from Indianapolis, Lucas Van Ness from Barrington, Illinois, Dace Fernandez from Belleville, Michigan, A.J. Lawson from Decatur, Illinois. Earlier in the week, you had 2 guys from Largo, Florida that committed. They got a little bit earlier this month, a kid from Stillwell, Kansas. Iowa's done a really, really good job. They're doing well in the state, but they're also branching out and hitting areas that, you know, that they're not wasting time in areas that they're recruiting. They're getting guys from different areas of the country, building relationships, and you know, Derek Foster in the South is just another aspect of that, and expands the footprint even a little bit more for Iowa.
Before we let you go and get to work on this latest commitment story, and feel free to throw us under the bus in the process for wasting your time talking about the Mets at the beginning, but I want to get your thoughts on Deuce Hogan, because this seems to be quite the phenomenon here. Have we ever seen anything like this before, where you have a player who's not even in the fold technically yet, where he's addressing these people who are visiting this weekend? It really seems to me that the coaching staff feels really, really comfortable with this guy as a leader before he's even officially a Hawkeye.
Yeah, the thing that maybe the best example of somebody, I think, at least from the quarterback position, that had this reach and helped in bringing together a class, this is going to make Iowa fans cringe. You know where I'm going with this?
Yep,
one,
Jake.
Todd?
Is it Jake?
It's Jake. And that's no way a determination of what Deuce Hogan is going to be as a quarterback. But Jake was very instrumental in bringing together what I think still ranks as Iowa's top recruiting class in the Ferentz era, that 2005 class. But it's really important, especially when you can get a quarterback there in the class early. If he's able to connect with different guys around the country, and now it's even easier with social media and being able to, most of these guys have group texts, chats, different things like that they do. And he's kind of been at the forefront since this class got started. And he committed. It's been almost a year since he committed. And so he's helped with every single guy, all 19 guys that have come after him. And Ken O'Keefe going into the player discussion Q&A session this weekend that they have each time they do official visits and even some unofficial visits, asked Deuce Hogan to get up and speak to the guys and explain why he chose Iowa. He did that, and from some of the guys I've talked to, it rang really true with them. They connected with that and said, hey, I kind of feel that too. And I think that was, you know, inspirational and also just a way of bringing these guys together.
You can have a Jake as long as you don't have a Jeff, and we'll leave it at that. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us as always, and we'll look forward to seeing that story on Iowa's latest commitment up at HawkeyeNation.com sometime in the near future. Thanks, Rob.
I'm on it. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
So there you go. Sometimes news happens in the midst of talking about the other news we had Rob on. So a third class in a row there that Iowa has picked up a decommitment from P.J. Fleck and the Golden Gophers.
I've been feeling a little sorry for Rob because all these commitments are rolling in and he has to write a story about each one of them. So like every 5 minutes he's having to write a new story. But hey, that's what happens when you are in this time of year and the clock has been sped up and Iowa is bringing in recruit after recruit after recruit. So good start for the Iowa program. As you mentioned, they've branched out quite a bit. They're pulling some recruits away from Minnesota, or at least ones that PJ Fleck didn't have time for after offering, which is a sore subject for a lot of people, but a really good weekend for the Iowa football program.
Third in the last four. There were no decommitments in the 2019 class from Minnesota to Iowa, but Amir Smith-Marset in 17 and Noah Shannon in 2018, and now you add Aaron Witt to the mix as well. Hashtag RTB. 5:54, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's in store for the 6 o'clock hour. Back with more after this.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Free offer contingent on subscription. Pay shipping and handling. Cancel anytime. Message and data rates may apply. When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free when you text the word LIFT to 60-60-60. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text LIFT to 60-60-60. Text LIFT to 60-60-60.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game when you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
They always told Will he was too short to play basketball, but Will never listened. Will let his work ethic do the talking for him. Always in the gym, always running drills. Will knew where there was a will, there was a way, and he was Will. But then, after his second child was born, he realized the pros were all way better than him. So Will gave up and buried his high tops in a tearful ceremony. But one day, he heard that Geico could save him money on car insurance, so he switched and saved a bunch, which was awesome.
You could win free fuel for a year in the Shell Great Gas Giveaway. Fuel Rewards members are automatically entered every time they purchase 8 gallons or more. And if you choose new Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, you get 4 entries. So, it's time to fill up for a chance to win. Not a member? To join, download the app or go to fuelrewards.com/win. No purchase necessary. Motion ends 9/1/19. See official rules at fuelrewards.com/win for how to enter by mail and all details.
No game today. The Twins enjoying an off day at home before the Tampa Bay Rays are in town for a 3-game series beginning on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
5:58, and don't forget, if you tune into the gym class all week long with Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann, at least tomorrow and Wednesday, Scott Unash will be back from vacation on Thursday. You'll have an opportunity to take home tickets to the 49th annual John Deere Classic at the TPC Deer Run in Silvis, Illinois. You're going to get 4 tickets, an any-day parking pass, and you're going to get to see some great PGA golf. Plus, tickets are on sale now for the 4th annual charity concert benefiting the bonus fund. This year's concert features Dustin Lynch on Wednesday, July 10th. At the Rust Belt in East Moline. Again, your chance to take home tickets to the John Deere Classic coming up tomorrow on the Gym Class with Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann filling in for Scott Unash. 6 o'clock hour is on tap right around the corner. We've got a Big Ten team playing in the College World Series finals for the first time since 1966. What could that mean for the Hawkeyes and Big Ten baseball? Plus, a rather intriguing story involving the NCAA and the state of California. All that and more on the way after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Christine Lisi. The United States got all a good handle from Spain today at the Women's World Cup. Each team had a goal in the first 10 minutes. Then the match remained scoreless until the 76th minute when Megan Rapinoe scored her second goal of the day. Both were on penalties. And there are 2 ways to look at Team USA's 2-1 win, explains ESPN's Julie Foudy.
Worrisome in that it wasn't ideal game for the United States. They didn't play well. They were a bit sloppy. They got disrupted by how physical Spain was, but I think the encouraging sign is that they grinded through it, and it is a knockout round game, as Megan Rapinoe was describing, and they had that blunder early. They came back from that.
U.S. next faces France on Friday. NBA Warriors GM Bob Myers today acknowledged the team plans to have formal conversations with Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson this week regarding their respective futures with Golden State. Durant long's been expected to decline his player option, Thompson will be an unrestricted free agent. Chiefs receiver Tyreek Hill scheduled to meet with NFL officials on Wednesday. Prosecutors are not actively working a criminal investigation into possible child abuse involving Hill, though the Department of Children and Families was still investigating this month. The Chiefs have banned Hill from attending the team's training facility this offseason. Baseball: Cardinals closer Jordan Hicks has a torn UCL in his pitching elbow. The team did not disclose whether he'll have surgery, only said they will determine his next action. Dodgers plan to extend the netting at Dodger Stadium, likely during this season, after another fan was hit by a foul ball yesterday.
Coming up Tuesday, the guys are back from their weekend at Pinehurst, and I get to the bottom of Trey's questionable strategies. Plus, when trying to lure a free agent, have billboards ever worked? Golic and Wingo Tuesday, 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Free offer contingent on subscription. Pay shipping and handling. Cancel anytime. Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. When you text the word LIFT to 60-60-60. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text LIFT to 60-60-60. Text LIFT to 60-60-60.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available at Pet Boys.
And Wingo.
Caesars is basically taking the four NBA teams in the state of California. That would be the Lakers, the Clippers, the Kings, and the Warriors. The prop bet is, do you take the state of California or do you take the rest of the teams as the odds to win the title? And right now, those four California teams are plus 175. The other 26 teams represent minus 210.
And we're taking the Kings out, correct? We all agreeing on that?
Yeah, they ain't winning the title.
It's just funny because it's California. It's right, we're not right. Entertaining them.
Well, just throw in Sacramento.
If you're going to get ready. I mean, I'm taking Golden State out. Are you?
No.
You're not taking
Golden? Absolutely not.
So you think Steph Curry and Draymond Green led team can win an NBA championship?
Absolutely.
Well, listen, no way.
I think that Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and potentially a return by Klay Thompson by the time the playoffs roll around would be a very interesting team because it took a Kawhi Leonard-led Raptors team, and we all know what Kawhi is, to stop them without Kevin Durant.
Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
6:04, welcome in and welcome back. It's hour number three of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Monday afternoon, in large part due to the good folks at Randy's Flooring, our presenting sponsor on Mondays. You can check them out at randysflooring.com. Local flooring experts by design, their locations in Cedar Rapids and on the Strip in Coralville, can help you get the right products for your next project, big or small. Again, Randy's Flooring, the Monday presenting sponsor of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here from the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll get to a story involving the NCAA and once again threatening to boycott or threatening to keep teams from a state out of its championships. I don't think this one is going to end very well, probably for either side. But on the subject of the NCAA, Alex, they're getting ready to throw out the first pitch of the College World Series, the final of the College World Series. Remember, this is a best of three series in Omaha at TD Ameritrade Park in downtown Omaha, a replacement a couple years ago for the venerable Rosenblatt Stadium. Michigan taking on Vanderbilt. And why is this of any interest? Well, because Michigan is the first Big Ten team to play for a College World Series title since Ohio State won the whole thing back in 1966.
What a run.
That's really impressive when you think about it, that the Big Ten has avoided getting to the championship game since 1966. You think of the Big Ten, you don't necessarily think of it as a baseball power, and perhaps that's a good reminder of why.
I feel like the Big Ten, we've pointed this out, they've made so many improvements to try to not necessarily get on equal footing as the Southern teams, and this sort of goes for all of the of Northern baseball. You're at a disadvantage because you can't play year-round, but the Big Ten has at times made an effort to invest more in baseball. But it was still pretty clear that college baseball is a Southern sport. The SEC, the ACC, the Pac-12, the Big West even, is a fantastic baseball conference. Those teams in California or the South or the Southeast or the Atlantic Coast, the Mid-Atlantic, they're going to dominate. They're going to have an advantage. That was always clear. But then Michigan makes this run, and I think that they're heavy underdogs against Vanderbilt, but as you said earlier, they've been heavy underdogs this entire postseason. They had to go into Los Angeles and beat the number one team in the country.
I see a lot of very knowledgeable college baseball people that are saying if you think Vanderbilt is going to win this in a cakewalk, you obviously have not seen Michigan play. Iowa managed to avoid playing the Wolverines all season long.
Right.
Did not have Michigan turn up on its Big Ten schedule, and so we have no anecdotal evidence to put up face-to-face against how Iowa would have faced fared against Michigan. It's really an impressive feat, and Kendall Rogers of D1Baseball.com wrote a really nice column today, which I believe is out from behind the paywall, so anybody can read it if they head over to that website, again, D1Baseball.com. on just what this means, not only for Michigan, but the Big Ten as a whole and the sport of college baseball in the Big Ten. As we've mentioned on the program before, a friend of mine and I were discussing the fact that maybe four Big Ten schools really make an effort in baseball.
Right.
And Iowa has joined the fray in recent years. Indiana, Michigan is one of those schools. And to a somewhat lesser extent, you've got Ohio State, Minnesota.
I was going to say those Minnesota is sort of there. But
sort of there. Purdue had a really good run several years ago and then has tailed off drastically. But it's there. The door is open. The opportunity is there, in my opinion, for Iowa to do exactly what Michigan is doing. I've heard a number of people say that there's no way the Hawkeyes can get to the College World Series. Michigan is right now on ESPN playing Vanderbilt, which is a college baseball powerhouse, but they are there. This is no different than a Central Florida getting to the college football championship. People say, well, it'll never happen. It could. So why not invest and why not make a run at it? I think Iowa's got the right guy to do it behind the helm right now in Rick Heller. If things can break Iowa's way, and baseball is such a funny game, as Michigan has proved. You give a team 27 outs and see what they can do. They can surprise you.
That point that you just made, it goes back to what I was saying about the Big Ten, the investments that they've made and not necessarily getting those results. People would still point and say, okay, all that money that they're putting, that these teams are putting into it, what is it added up to? A College World Series berth for Indiana 1 year? If Michigan can win this, to your point, will this be the proof that it can, this will be the proof that it can happen, that a team can get to the College World Series from the Big Ten. A team can win a national championship from the Big Ten. And I feel like every single coach in the Big Ten right now, administrator dealing with baseball, is absolutely rooting for the Wolverines to to finish this job off against, especially against a national power like Vanderbilt.
Unless Michigan wins the whole thing, you're still going to have the naysayers out there who are going to have the ability to use this as, well,
couldn't get the job done.
They couldn't get the job done. You pour all the resources you want into it and you still wind up losing. Or they got. I'm tired of reading about how they got lucky. They've been, if you've been following along with their journey in Omaha, they've been playing really good baseball. They were 3-0 on their portion, their side of the bracket. The other three teams all got to two losses, and that's why Michigan and Vanderbilt are squaring off right now for a national championship. But if Michigan can do it, why not Iowa? 319-366-1600.
They got lucky. I don't necessarily understand that. Maybe in their regional they didn't have to face Oregon State. It's not their fault that Oregon State fell early in that regional. But like I just said, they had to go to Los Angeles, beat the number one team in the country in UCLA 2 out of 3 games to get to the College World Series, beat Texas Tech twice, beat Florida State playing for their coach, and making this unbelievable run to the College World Series for Mike Martin in their second game. I don't understand the takes about them getting lucky.
In other sort of college baseball news, but baseball news, the top pick in this year's 2019 draft, Adley Rutschman out of Oregon State, has signed a record-breaking bonus deal with the Baltimore Orioles. He's going to take home $8.1 million and begin his professional career sooner rather than later, especially now that Oregon State is not involved in the College World Series. $8.1 million.
Nice chunk of change.
To the top pick in this year's draft. 319-366-1600. Nice, especially in the sense that while he was at Oregon State, he couldn't make any money.
Well, he's on a 30% scholarship, most likely. Is the most amazing thing to me, that in baseball, these kids out of high school can make the decision whether or not to, especially the ones in the first round, can make the decision to go play professionally for $4 or $5 million, or go to college where they're going to get their books and maybe their room and board paid for, maybe, if they're lucky.
It seems to me that the decision would be pretty easier if I were an elite high school baseball player
Yes.
who was drafted in the first round, but we have seen players in the past turn down large dollar amounts. The NCAA is fighting a new battle, by the way. I said we were going to get to this story in the 6 o'clock hour, and we'll get to it right now. California has come up with a law that is going to, I don't know how to describe this any other way than to say that California has come up with a law that basically opens a door, gives an avenue to college athletes to be compensated, also mostly for the likeness of their images and the use of their names. The NCAA, in its infinite wisdom, has said that if California passes this legislation, it's going to ban California teams from being eligible for its championships. This would have affected the Division III College World Series here in Cedar Rapids, because the team that wound up winning the title, Chapman, was from Orange, California. It's also going to, as many people could probably understand, possibly affect schools like UCLA, Cal, USC. There's no winner here, right?
I don't know if there's a clear winner, but there is a clear loser in this. And the NCAA has to be shaking right now with the precedent that is being set in the state of California. Because 24 Division I programs come from that state. Could you imagine a College World Series without some of the great programs in the state of California? Could you imagine a basketball tournament. I know UCLA hasn't been very good lately, but with a women's basketball tournament without Stanford, a men's basketball tournament without UCLA or USC, or a football Final Four without any of those teams, Stanford, they have to be terrified, because this is sort of where it's a situation that you see in politics and you see in policy making all the time. We just sort of went through it in Iowa when they legalized sports gambling. I guarantee you, you look around at the surrounding states, other than Illinois, who also legalized sports gambling, how many states are sitting there and saying, well, how's this going to affect us? Are people going to be going over the border to illegally gamble? Same with the legalization of marijuana. Do you think Nebraska is sitting there like, well, we need to put an extra this threatens us because people are going to be going over the border all the time? For the NCAA, they have to look and say, this is the state with the most programs of any state in the country, and they are threatening to completely jeopardize our authority to govern our schools, and trying to look at this from the NCAA standpoint, they realize if California does it, what's going to stop Texas from doing, Colorado from doing it, and then all this domino effect of these states changing their laws to help student athletes, and the NCAA in that scenario realizes it could go away entirely. I think this is a very, very scary situation for Mark Emmert and the NCAA right now.
It also makes things very interesting, because if this is to be a state-by-state case where, just as you mentioned, the legalization of marijuana and the legalization of sports gambling, which has been decided by the Supreme Court, that it's now up to the states to decide whether this is legal or not, something that they want to legislate, then inherently you would have a recruiting advantage.
Absolutely.
If you were located in a state,
of course,
where you were compensating players for their likeness. Imagine, if you will, that it's not California we're talking about that passes this legislation, but Wyoming or Utah. Are you not suddenly a lot more interested in the Mountain West and BYU or Utah if you're a prospective student athlete? So I think the CBS article sums it up a little bit better. The California Senate voted 31-4 to allow student athletes to be able to profit off their name, image, and likeness. The proposal, as it's written right now, the statute would not take effect until 2023. So if you're in school right now in California, this isn't going to help you. There's still a few things that need to take place in order for this to become a law, and that's why the NCAA is butting in right now. They're trying to cut this off before it gets any further down the road. But Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, making overtures via letter to two chairpersons imploring California State Assembly leaders to reconsider the timeline on the forthcoming regulations. His reasoning...
He's terrified.
Oh, he's shaking in his
terrified.
Boots. The reasoning is that, according to CBS, California's lawmakers could wind up inadvertently triggering ineligibility for in-state California student athletes. The reason is simple and obvious. NCAA rules currently don't allow for players to profit off their own achievements, abilities, personalities, marketing, anything while in school. Specifically, players and or programs could be eliminated from NCAA championship participation. That goes for both conference tournaments and national playoffs. This is so un-American, this idea that you can't capitalize off your skill or your likeness, right?
I mean, yes.
I've always viewed it through that lens, that in this country, whom many people bend over backwards to remind us each day is the greatest country in the world, yet we oftentimes, in my opinion, don't live up to that moniker. We should try to strive a little harder to do so, in my opinion. But in this country, if you're a 19-year-old kid, you have to accept books and room and board if you're really good at football or really good at basketball. That's the only compensation you can get until you decide to go play professionally somewhere. You are absolutely 100% correct, Alex, in saying that Mark Emmert is terrified that this legislation goes any further in California, because they can try. They can try to strong arm California and say, okay, we're going to cut you out. We're going to keep you on the sidelines, no conference tournaments, no NCAA championships. But what happens when all of a sudden Florida or New York or Michigan or Ohio or Illinois, other states follow suit? Because guess what? The NCAA makes a lot of money on those championships, right?
Yes.
So if the NCAA is trying to have a championship and all of a sudden people aren't really all that interested in it because it's not the four best teams in the country, maybe two of the four best teams are located in California or another state that has similar legislation, suddenly you've watered down your product and people are going to be less interested, or they're going to look at it as sort of put an asterisk on it because it wasn't a full field of participants. You're damn right the NCAA is terrified that this is going to go any further. And there's only one group out there that's getting rich right now under the current system, and it's the schools. It's the NCAA. They're raking money in hand over fist, and they don't want to share any of it. They don't want a smaller percentage of the pie. They want the whole pie to themselves.
Well, that's true, but in this scenario, they wouldn't lose any of that money. This is strictly about likeness and players making money off of their name and being able to profit off of who they are and their abilities in college. And for a lot of athletes, I think back to Nigel Hayes at Wisconsin. He was one of the first guys to come out and profess that he thinks the rules should be changed. He thinks that he should be able to profit off of his name while he's at Wisconsin. He's the perfect example of somebody who... his name will never be worth more than it is when he was at Wisconsin. He's not an NBA player, but there would be endorsement people in Madison lining up to get him to do spots, to pay him to endorse their products, but he wasn't allowed to do that because of NCAA rules. So it's one of those cases, and equating it back to politics and law, where something's very antiquated. There's a policy that's in place that's antiquated, and a state says, this isn't right. Let's change it. And it goes against federal policy, and it has this trickle-down effect that the overall governing body doesn't want. But at the same time, the overall governing body is terrified because they know the rule's antiquated. They know states are going to follow suit. And eventually, the precedent that has been set right now is going to overtake the NCAA and force them to change their definition of amateurism.
By the way, just in case you're not watching ESPN right now, Michigan, the school that nobody has given a chance to beat Vanderbilt, is leading 2-0 in the first inning. They scored two quick first inning runs. Big Ten Michigan taking on one of the major players in college baseball, trying to figure out a way to equate this for people who don't follow college baseball. This is George Mason getting to not just the Elite Eight or the Final Four. This is George Mason getting to a championship game against Duke. That's basically what this is.
I think you're equating it to UCF winning a national championship is pretty spot on, where you have a conference that is sort of caught in purgatory between being a major player in college baseball, just the way that the AAC is in football, kind of caught in between being lower level to and the upper levels of Division I baseball, and you have this team that has been dominant for most of the season in that conference, and nobody takes him seriously. And here they are in the national championship game, giving Vanderbilt a 2-run deficit early on.
So it's going to be fun to watch play out, especially if Michigan can win tonight. It's a best of three series, and the World Series often goes to three games, and certainly Vanderbilt can come back and score some runs here and win tonight, and maybe they win the series in two games. I don't know, but right now, the little train, the little engine that could, is chugging along in Omaha. And if you're an Iowa baseball fan, if you're a Big Ten baseball fan, put aside those allegiances to the Hawkeyes. I think everybody in the country right now should be rooting for Michigan. This is not supposed to happen. A northern school, traditionally not a major power, although when you look back at the College World Series history, Michigan has been there, Ohio State's been there, Minnesota's been there, but you got to go all the way back to the 60s. Ohio State, as we mentioned, the last Big Ten team in 1966. I think Minnesota's appearance came in 1964 and 1962, but back in the era of black and white television, it's the last time a Big Ten team was playing for a national championship in baseball, and you've got one right now with a 2-run lead on a major, major power in college baseball in Vanderbilt, currently airing on ESPN. 627, we need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll revisit the poll question. Albert Pujols getting a standing ovation in St. Louis over the weekend. Plus, imagine being one of the most recognizable men in the NFL. You're worth millions of dollars, and you've got to fly standard coach back to get to where you're going. Tell you who that was over the weekend and why when we return after this.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, we're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit us at 2802 Independence Road or at our Answers by Alexander showroom, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Bring your furry four-legged friends to the Colonels this Wednesday for Bark in the Park. Participants must register their dog online at kernels.com and purchase tickets for you and your dog. All proceeds from the dog tickets benefit Critter Crusaders. Visit kernels.com and get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final boy wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Good losers gamble to have fun. They know losing is part of the game. In fact, good losers plan on it. And they never lose more than they can afford. Good losers know when to stop. If you're a good loser, you sleep no problem. But if you can't sleep, if your losses hurt too much, we can help. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.org and find out once and for all, are you a good loser? Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
The John Deere Classic is more than golf. It's a week filled with friends, food, fun, a youth clinic, and an amazing charity concert with Dustin Lynch. It's the event that's delivered over $100 million to local charities since 1971. And yes, there's great golf too. Pretty. Sweet.
Oh, I like that.
Stuff.
Yes.
Magic does happen here. Get tickets at johndeereclassic.com or call 309-762-GOLF. Hurry, they're going fast.
Nobody beats our prices at Menards, so you can save big money on giving your home a fresh new look, indoors and out. Get superior performance with Dutch Boy Max Bond Exterior Paint and Primer in 1 or Dutch Boy Platinum Plus Interior Paint and Primer in 1. Save $15 a gallon after rebate. Prices good through July 6th. Save on Dutch Boy Paint and more. Now during Menards 4th of July sale.
Save big money.
money at Menards.
The Stephen A. Smith Show.
It's a damn travesty that one of these young coaches don't have Larry Brown on his staff. It's a damn travesty that Larry Brown isn't still a head coach somewhere for somebody in the NBA right now, because he's a teacher. And we got a whole bunch of people with talent that don't know how to play and refuse to play the right way. So if Larry Brown couldn't be your head coach, he should at least be on somebody's staff. But that's just me.
The Stephen A. Smith Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
6:31, welcome back in. It is a Monday. That means the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Randy's Flooring. You can find more about them online at randysflooring.com. And don't forget, Randy's is a proud partner of the Uisted Family Children's Hospital. Select purchases, a proceed of select purchases, go to support the Children's Hospital. Again, you can learn more by visiting their website or checking out one of their two showrooms here in the corridor, Cedar Rapids and in Coralville on the Coralville Strip. 319-366-1600 is the number to reach us, including on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, as Tom in Norway did. We'll get to his text in just a moment. But first, Kyle is with us. He's going to bring you your final Big Board update of the day, brought to you by Alexander Lumber. For right now, you can still find them at their temporary location, 2802 Independence Road in Iowa City. Here he is.
It was labeled as one of the biggest recruiting weekends in recent memory for the Hawkeyes, and seven commitments later, it's safe to say it's definitely right up there. It started on Friday with Cedar Rapids Kennedy four-star offensive lineman Connor Colby. The junior to be in the class of 2021 stands 6'5" and 270 pounds and comes highly coveted, also holding offers from Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Nebraska. The rest of the guys were all in the class of 2020. A.J. Lawson's a three-star defensive back from Illinois. Lucas Van Ness, a three-star defensive end from Illinois. Reggie Bracey, a three-star safety from Alabama. Brendan Desfernandez, a three-star defensive back from Michigan. Jay Higgins, a two-star linebacker from Indiana. And just during the show today, they got another one, Aaron Witt, a three-star defensive end from Minnesota. The Cyclones didn't spend the whole weekend snoozing, though. They also received some pledges from Hunter Deckers, a three-star in-state quarterback, three-star Ohio offensive lineman Sam Rangert, three-star Missouri defensive end Johnny Wilson, and three-star JUCO receiver Xavier Hutchinson. On the basketball side of things, Cyclone fans may want to keep an eye on five-star center and Folly Dante, who told the Des Moines Register's Matthew Bain Iowa State's very much in consideration. Former Hawkeye Tyler Cook signed a partially guaranteed deal with the Denver Nuggets. He'll have a chance to earn a spot on the roster, but will have to do so without playing in the summer league after suffering an ankle injury working out for the Pistons. The Colonels and Twins are both off today, but looking ahead to tomorrow night, the Colonels are back hosting the Timber Rattlers, and we'll have the Twins and Rays right here on the North Gym.
The Twins and the Rays, a subject, at least the Rays, that we tackled last week on the program, according to many folks around Major League Baseball, that proposal for Tampa Bay and Montreal to share the Rays is pretty much dead in the water because the mayor of St. Petersburg wants absolutely nothing to do with it and is calling MLB and the Rays out for what this essentially is, and that's extortion to try to get a new ballpark.
That's exactly what it is.
And he's going to hold them to their lease, which I believe is in place until something like 2027 or something like that.
Is it also sort of a warning signal to the city of Tampa that, yes, get us a new ballpark, but also, I don't know, show up to the game? We're doing well. We're contending. Somebody show up to watch us play, maybe?
I don't think baseball's ever going to take off in Florida.
Well, clearly
I mean,
it's not.
Been there for decades, and people are disinterested in it. The only people who show up are hardcore baseball fans and then fans of whatever team happens to be visiting Miami or Tampa. You get a lot of Red Sox and Yankees fans that spend their winters and now have decided to fully retire to Florida. I've got no answer for the baseball in Florida problem that MLB seems to be confronting.
I don't think it's going to last very long anymore in Tampa. I think they're going to move out of there, and we could be talking about no team in Tampa. I think the date is, 2027 when the lease runs up. Like you said, I don't think it's going to take off because that's been a successful organization. That was an organization under Joe Madden that got to the World Series in his first year. That's an organization now that is putting together 90-win season, following it up with probably another 90-win season in contention with the Yankees and the Red Sox in the AL East with much less resources than both of those teams, and still nobody shows up to watch them. I understand their frustration right now. I really do. Now that when I got past the ludicrousy of the dual citizenship, the dual having two cities, to see what this was actually about, I sort of understood where the Rays were coming from.
Got a whole lot to get to, that and more here on the program, 319-366-1600. But our poll question today, KGYMRadio.com, which we touched on a little bit with Joe Rivera of the Sporting News. Where do you stand on giving an opposing player a standing ovation and or a curtain call? Is it fair or foul? The poll question, as always, at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's. Next to the Home Depot, Albert Pujols made his return to St. Louis for the first time playing at Busch Stadium since signing that 10-year mega deal with the Los Angeles Angels in 2011. And he was greeted like the conquering hero many believe that he is. Standing ovations. He hit a home run against the Cardinals, and Cardinals fans called him out for a curtain call. Fair or foul? 319-366-1600. You can let us know on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Alex says fair.
Yeah, I don't have much apprehension. In fact, if they wouldn't have done that, if there would have been boos, which I didn't expect, if they wouldn't have made this a magical welcome back, I feel like it would have been disingenuous to what he means and what he meant to that organization. And it's easy now. You always hear you don't know what you have till it's gone. Now, I think it's very clear that the Cardinals possibly are on the winning end of this saga. Albert goes to LA. Things sort of go downhill, but the Cardinals had some decent success after he left, but now they're searching for that again. They're trying to find what they had in their lineup for 11 consecutive years. 11 of the greatest years by a hitter in the history of Major League Baseball. I don't think they're going to find it. I think it feels different now. They're never going to get back to that point. And for 3 days, all the memories returned. And for me, I was skeptical. I keep saying this. I was completely skeptical and wondering what this weekend would be. What would I feel? What would the memories be? And they all came back. They came flooding back. And it was a good way for Cardinals fans to sort of remember those days for what they were and realize how special they were, and then now go back to real life and realize that their star closer is going to be out for this year and next year.
I don't know whether people feel that this is okay or not, judging by a lack of reaction on the text line. But Tom in Norway says on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line that it is never okay to cheer for Michigan. Never, never, ever, ever. I implored people going into the last break to set aside their allegiances with the University of Iowa to cheer for Michigan in the College World Series. I think in this particular instance, it's okay. You should be cheering for Michigan here, unless you don't want to see Iowa be good at college baseball, because what's good for Michigan at this point is good for Iowa and good for the Big Ten. This isn't necessarily the national championship in football. This isn't the national championship in men's basketball, where people get really, really, really wrapped up in those tribal allegiances. If you're an Iowa fan, I'm not saying that you run down to Shields and buy Michigan gear and run around singing hail to the victors. That's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to tell you that quietly, maybe at the farthest recesses of your brain, to yourself, nobody else knows about it, you can admit to yourself that you would like to see Michigan knock off Vanderbilt in the College World Series because it would be good for Iowa and the Big Ten. 319-366-1600.
I think it's pretty easy because you realize, you think Rick Heller is rooting for Michigan right now?
Oh, you're damn right he is.
That simple.
I mean, there's every baseball player and every baseball coach in the Big Ten is rooting for Michigan. They wanted a third paid assistant, and the Big Ten was one of the conferences that said no. And this right here is living proof. What's going on in Omaha right now, living proof that if you put money where your mouth is, you can be competitive in that sport, in the not only in the Big Ten, but in the northern region as in general, because we're not just talking about it as a Big Ten issue. It's a northern school issue. But a lot of the northern school conferences, the smaller ones, did support paying a third assistant. The Big Ten said no. And so you've got a program that's already spread thin as far as the number of scholarships it has to dole out and the number of paid coaches that are recruiting and working with the players that are on the roster. Take my word for it. Every coach in the Big Ten, including Rick Heller, is rooting for the University of Michigan and Omaha, and I think you should be too. You don't have to. You don't have to make a big public show of it. I'm not going to tell anybody. You don't even have to tell me. But you should probably be pulling for the Wolverines, even if it goes against the grain of everything that you believe in, right down to the bottom of your soul. 319-366-1600. We'll get to the story about the very high-profile NFL quarterback who was forced to suffer the indignity of flying coach when we return after this at 6:43 on a Monday. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues after this.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day alive. Member FDIC.
Come here. Boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. You got the time. Perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. The 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
If you have frequent heartburn, take control of it with Prilosec OTC instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens. Or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. Ah, it's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
Looking to build a deck? Think Trex is out of your price range? Well, now you should take a second look at the number one name in outdoor living. Because the latest deck from Trex is engineered for the DIYer and priced to put the pressure on treated lumber. Plus, It comes with a 25-year fade and stain warranty. And that's something wood can't promise. Visit the Home Depot to see and feel the new decking color for yourself. Trex Enhanced Naturals in Coastal Bluff.
At Fidelity, we believe nothing should come between you and your money. So we're introducing zero account fees with zero minimums to open an account. All because we want you to invest with zero trade-offs. Visit fidelity.com/value to learn more. Zero account minimums and zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Expenses charged by investments such as funds and managed accounts and for commissions, interest charges, or other expenses for transactions may still apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE, SIPC.
If you have frequent heartburn, take control of it with Prilosec OTC instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens, or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. Ah, it's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
No game today. The Twins enjoying an off day at home before the Tampa Bay Rays are in town for a three-game series beginning on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
6:47, we welcome you back in. Ted DiBiase, the million-dollar man, used to say everybody's got a price. But apparently, not everybody has a price because recently, Carolina quarterback Cam Newton found himself trying to get from Paris to the United States, and he missed his original direct flight. Actually, it was going from the U.S. to France. He missed his original direct flight where he had a seat in business class, and he needed to fly through Dallas on a new flight. And the only seat available to him for the 10-hour flight to France was in coach. Now, many of us have flown coach. I don't think a whole ton of us out there probably have too much experience flying business or first class. I'm just happy enough when I fly when I get a little extra leg room on Southwest. Cam Newton offered a gentleman $1,500 to switch seats with him to give him the seat with a little extra leg room, and the guy told him no dice. So Cam Newton had to sit in coach for a 10-hour flight from Dallas to France. Now, this begs the question. There are other people in business class and first class. Why wouldn't you continue to try to offer people money and or up your ante a little bit? Cam Newton's worth how many millions of dollars? And he comes at the guy with $1,500? If the guy's flying business or first class, $1,500 to him probably isn't going to be a deal breaker.
Especially on a 10-hour flight.
Me?
That's huge.
Me, if I'm lucky enough and I somehow stumble into that seat when I know I don't belong in first class or business class anyway, and to whom $1,500 is not necessarily a life-changing amount of money, but I could definitely use an extra $1,500, I'm probably resigning myself to 10 hours in coach for that.
Have you ever had anything like that where you had something and somebody offered you up a bunch of money to take it off your hands? Like whether it was a piece of memorabilia or you were sitting in a certain seat for a game that somebody wanted. I've had it one time, and I feel like an idiot for not. I said no to the person who offered me $150 for my spot at the Home Run Derby when it was in St. Louis, but that has happened to me one time.
Were you like in the bleachers? We were in the outfield?
We were in the bleachers, and we were right at the mezzanine level just above the walkway.
Okay.
In the outfield bleachers, right at the corner.
And so prime home run territory.
Prime home run territory. In fact, the person directly behind us caught two home run balls. But this guy offered, I think it was $150 to each of us just to sit about 10 rows back. And for some reason, we all said no. I wish I would have said yes to that because I was only like 17 years old and $150 could have gotten me.
Hindsight
something
is always 2020. 6:51 coming up on the program tomorrow. We're going to basically do what we did today, except from an Iowa State standpoint. We'll check in on the Cyclones' big weekend in football recruiting. They picked up 3 commitments. Plus, Billy Taylor is going to join us tomorrow, the newest member of Fran McCaffrey's coaching staff. So we'll talk a little Hawkeye hoops on a Tuesday edition of the program. And oh, by the way, Michigan, the school that you as a Hawkeye fan just can't bring yourself to cheer for, leading Vanderbilt 4-0 in game 1 of the College World Series.
Pour it on, Michigan.
So you go ahead. You do you. Alex and I understand the gravity of the situation here for the Big Ten Conference, and you got a couple closet Michigan Wolverine fans. Just like to see the apple cart get upset here with Vanderbilt. This is a college baseball powerhouse, possibly losing to a good college program, but and you can say, well, it's a Big Ten SEC. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this is baseball. We're not talking about football. If this were football and Michigan were playing Vanderbilt, nobody would even bat an eye. As a matter of fact, Michigan would be a heavy favorite. That's not the case here, but if you've watched the College World Series, you know that Michigan's been playing some pretty good baseball. And if Michigan, why not Iowa? It's a question that I think is pretty easy to ask here.
It's very simple, and it's also very simple to say, wouldn't you want to see an elevated brand of baseball in the Big Ten? We know it has been elevated, but I have been to places where they take baseball at the college level very seriously, and it's fun. Not only in the South, but in the out West, in the Pac-12, in the Big West. That is fun, baseball. And some people say it compares to some of the lower to mid-levels of professional baseball. It is high quality, and I would love to see that come to the Big Ten.
That will do it for us on a Monday. Again, a big thank you to our presenting sponsor, Randy's Flooring. You can check them out in Cedar Rapids and Coralville. randysflooring.com. We already ran down things for tomorrow's program, a Tuesday edition. Don't forget, Lunchbox Heroes is on tap this week for us on Wednesday. You can get details about that at kgymradio.com. While you're there, don't forget to vote in the poll question and tune in tomorrow. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on in the sports world. Kyle will have more Alexander Lumber big board updates for you. Tune in. Local programming returns tomorrow with the gym class at 3.